This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I still am enjoying that Kat Carlson earlier today posted that you can tune in to the show and be amazed. And I questioned, why would you be amazed? And she says, well, I'm amazed every week that we get the show on the air. And I'm
yeah.
I said, Kat Carlson.
If I feel that sort of wonder, why shouldn't
right, exactly. And I'm assuming everybody else does too. So welcome, amazed listeners and viewers.
Maybe I'm amazed that this show got off the ground.
We are here. We're queer. Get over it. We are waiting, anxiously awaiting. Well, first of all, we have to... Al came in with a handicap tonight. He doesn't have an iPad.
I'm going to let that go.
You don't have...
Mark, can you help
I didn't
out?
Say
besides the obvious.
Get him some geniuses.
Do you need my card?
I didn't use the R word for him, but for credit.
Thank
up.
You, I appreciate
I
that.
I think he needs some respite care.
He forgot his iPad and he forgot his eyeglasses, which are not made by Apple, oddly. The eyeglasses are
right,
not.
Well, I don't bring them because I can read everything on the iPad.
Do you want
this
these?
Bullshit.
Well, isn't this large
Font
enough for
75.
You to read, though?
Yeah. Oh. I just can't respond
oh,
back
fuck
on
it. We
you
want to
try them?
Oh, well, I mean, probably.
Let's see what happens here. Can Marnie Ryer's glasses suffice for Al Perkins' vision?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're just cheaters, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have those also in my toolbox. Yeah. 20 times the magnification.
I can read my phone. I'm just not going to try and type on that bullshit. Right.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Well, I can loan you an iPad if you'd like. It's all right. Anyway. Hi, everybody. Welcome, Joe D, Kenny, or excuse me, Kenny, Jenny, Aaron. Who else is in the chat room? Is that it so far? I guess it's all right. It's good.
Yeah.
It's
Aaron, Joe, Jenny,
Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me all here at Show 252. This is, at least from where we are sitting in Arizona, it's the 8th of March, 2016. Welcome to it.
It's a true story.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. Now, in some places, it's the 9th, I understand.
Absolutely.
Because it goes up
one
day, every year, every day, every 24.
I think I've got it down pat that it's like roughly 8:30 in the morning in Nairobi?
Something like that, yeah.
8:30, 9
o'clock? I feel good about that.
I'm trying to work that out.
You're talking about an aunt or Amina?
For Amina.
Amina. Yeah. Amina and I were going back and forth about internet speeds earlier this week, which is part of my story.
That.
And I saw
amazing.
The internet speeds, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean,
I saw that too.
These
and
white
like,
privileged Americans that we are. I mean, I'm bitching because I'm like, okay, why am I at 50 when I should be at 175 down?
Son of a bitch.
And he's like, I'm at 2.8. I'm like, oh, my bad.
Well, but at least you got here.
I feel bad.
I don't care how you get there.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Just get there if you
God.
Can.
Just
get there if
Alita
can.
Adams, ladies and gentlemen.
we're amazed.
That's our R&B
we're
segment
amazed.
Of the night right there.
That's nice. We like that song.
I missed her like crazy. My God.
Please, no. I don't think Amina's cat can take
it. No.
Oh, there's Mom. Hi, Mom. She got
Hi,
a little
Mom.
Smiley face there. Hello, hello. heaven's sakes alive. Well, for those of you in the continental United States, well, even the states that aren't in the continental, this is, they don't call it Super Tuesday. It's what?
Super Tuesday 2. Now, it's not really
Electric
Super
Boogaloo.
Tuesday.
Electric Boogaloo is what Al called it, right.
There's like four states voting. One of them's Idaho.
Yeah.
No, Utah.
The other one's
Listen.
Hawaii. So
can't not.
There's not a lot going. They
Whenever
just need a
happens.
Reason to like hype it up.
Was it,
up.
Hey,
was it Michigan? Are they ready to call? You said Michigan.
Yeah.
Got it. So there's a lot of people, and I've got the MSNBC on in the front room. So if anytime anybody needs to take a break and step out and watch them repeat something they've already said 14 times, go out there.
Sounds like a lot
Check
of fun.
It
is.
I feel really good about that.
I opted not to do a TV in here because Al gets distracted, and we know that he will only watch the television and not do anything else.
That's a true story.
So no, I mean, I'm not digging on him. He said that himself.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is Children true. Of the 70s and 80s, raised by television.
Fascinating telly.
Yeah, and on purpose, too. That's the best part.
Yeah. Kids, go watch some TV. You're bugging me.
Yeah.
Go away, you
bobbing. Kept me in the basement.
Happened to us, too.
It's International Women's Day. It's International Pancakes
International
Day.
Pancake
yes.
Day.
I was very sad that I did not make it to a pancake establishment to enjoy said holiday.
I even thought that we should have, well, later in the day, I thought that maybe we should have done a pancake here in the studio, but then I decided no.
You know, and I didn't realize that the National Pancake Day is actually a gigantic fundraiser IHOP puts on. I don't remember either.
Is it IHOP that does it?
Or IHOP does it, yeah. The International House of Pancakes.
Yes.
And it's a fundraiser
And also, for those of you trying to put it to the two together, don't do it. Because just because it's Women's Day and Pancake Day doesn't mean they need to be making them.
That's true.
Anybody can make them.
However, if any women wanted to make their pancakes.
Yeah, I would happily eat them.
Oh, no, I would too.
And donate to whatever
I just wasn't trying
would
to put
been.
Women in the kitchen yeah, making pancakes.
I see.
John Kasich has done
that already. You were trying to avoid the natural misogyny that comes with the two.
You weren't playing Miss Scarlet in the kitchen with the pancake kind of clue.
Oh, God. With a lead pipe. As if we were in Flint.
I know, but the free
Children's Miracle Network. Is what they are
raising. And the free pancakes ended at like 7 p.m. or something.
Something like that. Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, that 7 to 7.
But by the way, whenever you're listening.
It was in the back of my mind all day, like, I could bike to IHOP.
You sure as shit can. And biking back would help you burn off some of what you ingested there.
That would allow
but
you to get more pancakes.
We're trying to reverse the tide on that. So
that's a good call.
Going out for pancakes may not be the way we want the water to go.
I'm trying to decide if I can still say that I gained a little weight over the winter if it was winter 2014.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to specify.
It's not holiday weight if you were fat in August.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. 4th of July could be holiday weight.
Speaking of that, there was a picture of a cat, really fat cat, sitting on a couch. And the caption said, Mom said when I was younger that it was just baby fat, but here I am looking at her at 30.
Yeah.
Yep, it's not baby fat.
Not anymore.
Not at all.
That's just regular people.
Well, how old's your baby? 18.
Yeah.
47.
Yes, exactly. Right here.
I'm still big boned. Thank you.
Large boned.
Husky.
No, that was the worst.
Oh, Husky?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
And then they named a fucking line of jeans after it at Sears. Yeah. You weren't going to wear those. You got home with a razor blade and cut that shit off. I'm not wearing Husky jeans, Mom.
Just being in that section was a shame spiral.
That was enough, yes. Actually, for me, it was a little bit of just buying clothes at Sears was a little bit of a...
Well, that was kind of the place. Like, Tim's family was fancy. Man. They went to Penny's.
Oh!
We were a Sears family.
I was more into the Penny's. I like the Penny's line better than...
Yeah.
Than that, but... Because I was always concerned, though back in the day you could still do that at Penny's, but in my hometown it was like... Sears was like tires, lawnmowers... electronics, and then I guess clothes were there too, but there was a section of lawnmowers for a while at Penny's in my hometown.
Yeah. Like I said, we just weren't fancy enough to shop at Penny's. I only had the briefest of knowledge of the Penny's.
Got it.
But we were definitely
in the chat room, if you would
Sears
let us know
all the way.
When you grew up, when you would buy clothes like for school or when you were younger, what was the store that your family
where did
frequented
you buy your corduroys?
When you'd walk zip 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 zip. I mean, don't be
and ashamed. They really were just an electronic nightmare because she would like between like fuzzy socks and corduroys, you were electrocuting yourself in the whole fucking house.
Reach out to pet the dog.
Yeah,
the dog.
Yet I grew up in a
it was
really
the green
dry
mile.
Climate.
Oh yeah, that doesn't
the
help
dry
either.
Dry air doesn't help. So I grew up in Salt Lake with the corduroys and the shag carpeting
sure.
and the fluffy socks.
Oh yeah, just the heat
seriously.
Being on. You had the.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I was like a character from Mortal Kombat. Whoever the guy with the. I can't remember his name. With
constantly losing on operations.
Mr. Butterfinger.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, that's true, Joe. They had vacuums.
Well, they
Sears,
had every major
sure.
appliance because
yes.
of Kenmore.
Yeah,
they had
did.
Everything.
In fact, that's
really.
Where my love of appliances and repairing them came from because I had neighbors. I've told this story before when I was younger. And
you
mom
lived in a radio.
And mom will remember this when I took apart for the first time to fix one of our washing machines because. In my head, I could get home from school at 3:15, figure out what part I needed, call them. They could have it home by 5. Mom didn't get home by 6. I had it all master planned. The part wasn't available. Mom gets home, sees the washer spread all over Hill's Half Faker, and she's literally said to me, "If it doesn't go back together, I will kill you." And it did. Everything was perfect.
You're not dead.
No,
worked
everything
well.
Worked out perfectly. And then we actually nobody else ever called a repairman but me for the rest of their lives.
She's going to have one less bell to answer there, huh?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
That's fantastic.
Ah, well, that'll be cool. So Penny's, they carried school uniforms, Ginny. Ginny's, what? What school did you go to? We probably already discussed this and I don't recall.
No, I don't think so.
I would then probably assume that Jenny is a little bit younger than we. and was part of that 90s fad of public schools to, like, requiring school uniforms.
Oh, right. To get away from...
Well, or that, I mean, there were folks
she could have gone to a Catholic school. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, locally here in Phoenix, Broadway. I completely forgot about Broadway, Joe. That's a, that was, I agree. Yeah. Broadway, Broadway faded out right as I moved here in the early...
Broadway mid- one day only sale. Always.
I thought Fred Meyer...
that was always my...
Fred Myers was, is that
in some parts of the country? Fred Meyer was much like Target or Kmart. Yeah, in some parts of the country.
Oh,
got it.
I
am not familiar.
I am not.
Some people know it as a hardware store. Some people know it as a Kmart like department store.
Oh, very good. I didn't. I was not one of them. Very nice with the knowledge.
I remember there was a store one of my grandmothers used to take me to, and she would buy all of our, like, she'd take us for, you know, the school clothing stuff, and they when it's when polos were all the rage back in the 80s, that big huge phase of that. Well, these weren't polos, they were called saddlebred, and they had a slightly different horse on them, but so we were sent to school with those, and I had every color, you know, I and that was my thing. I'm gonna buy, and I was that way as a kid. Does this fit? Do I like it? Yes, I want every fucking color so I can wear it at anything at any time. But now I don't. I just don't do the black colors. Yeah. I will buy 10 of the same color, but we don't do alternate colors anymore.
When I was growing up, Izod was the big thing.
Izod,
Izod, right?
I was just saying, Izod was
huge.
Izod, and then Polo. And then Polo,
Ralph Lauren.
That Polo. Fucking alligator, right? And I hated that fucking alligator.
I know.
I didn't mind the Polo pony because I thought it was tasteful. But now they're like Target, the size of your head.
Yeah, that's, oh, you're right. Absolutely, yeah. It's stupid. But if you went to Target, they had another pony, but it was a totally different pony. So everyone knew that you did not have Lauren.
Right.
Also, with the alligator with Izod, my grandparents, because I was. We didn't have a ton of my, like, the folks that I grew up with, everyone had Izod. So, of course, what do you ridiculously want? You know, you're like, oh, I want to fit in. I wish I had that, whatever. So when they said, make your Christmas list, I did. And I put Izod on there. And my grandma said, what is this Izod that you speak of? So I explained it to her. And so at Christmas, everybody was waiting. And I opened my gift. And I pull out this polo shirt that had a rubber alligator about this, like, it was
attached
about
to it.
That, but yeah, she had taken it and sewn it on.
Oh, Jesus.
And she said, so nice of her.
You said it had an alligator on it. And to this day, I thought that one of the better Christmas presents that I have ever received, because I thought very smart.
Because she probably went and looked at the price of the shirt and was like, oh,
what
fuck
the hell
no.
With that?
Yeah.
Right.
For the cost of one shirt, I get one good practical joke about. I'll buy the alligator and the shirt.
And we can get a real alligator at that time.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, so I walked around with that. That was a little
dittos
heavy,
in the 70s. What were dittos?
Jenny, I don't know that I've heard
Jenny
of that.
Said she had dittos in the 70s. Were those jeans? Shoes?
I don't know culottes.
What those,
I'm
were, Jenny.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say it's either hand-me-downs or knockoffs.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with either hand-me-downs or knockoffs.
That's a good one. It could be dittos. Could be I'll have what she's having. kind of.
it's one of those things where it's pinging somewhere in the back of my brain.
And they also used to call, like, copies, photocopies, dittos.
Right, right. Oh. Ditto machine. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm going with knockoffs. Final answer.
There you go.
But I think dittos. I feel like dittos was a thing in the 70s. I think it's like black gas black gas shoes, and like they
and macrame.
It was like a thing.
Somebody's got to Google that because I don't remember. But
I feel like the pajamas that Annette's talking about are like silky.
I hope so.
It feels very.
I think
exciting.
So. Like I.
You don't think they're made out of corduroy?
I don't think corduroy. I do not think corduroy. But I wonder if they're like a silky kind
of... I think I could wear anything
somehow
silky.
I feel like India and corduroy are not a match made in heaven.
No.
I feel like that would
be amazing.
Then that would end in some swamp ass that no one would ever want to talk about.
Yeah, like the big deal a long, long time ago was like silk sheets or like satiny sheets. I can't.
No, I can't either.
I cannot.
I was thinking the same thing. As soon as someone says silk, I was thinking those sheets and just sliding around the bed.
Yeah, I tried silk sheets on a bed once, and I'm like, nope, we're done with this.
I feel like silk
pajamas that just ended up up around my neck.
There was no point.
They were around my ankles and my neck. It looked like some kind of a hostage situation because they would just ride up or down.
Oh. Yeah,
I gave up on silk anything when silk shirts went out of style. Like, once those were nope, I was end of
time. Oh, and what was it?
There was rayon?
No, there was that washable silk. Remember the washable silk era?
Oh, my God, yes.
Washable silk went the way of, like, things that do not breathe in humidity.
It's not okay.
And I made the horrible mistake of going to my niece's christening in the summer in New York, and it was just miserable hot in the church in this beautiful washable silk print that was just a gorgeous shirt.
Sure.
But oh my God. I lost like 20 pounds wearing that thing. So it's just a sweat box.
And it was a different color by the time you were done? Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when linen was big in Arizona. You guys might not have moved here yet.
Early 90s?
Late 80s. It had this whole like this linen phase that wasn't linen like the big thing for this our hot weather. No, because you look like a fucking table napkin by the end of the day.
No, that's...
Because that shit would just wrinkle up, and it would just... It did stay cooler about 10 minutes longer than other fabrics, but then when you sweat, it would just stick to you.
Sure. Right, but that's the story that I told before of Mom and I forgetting when we flew back to Missouri in December that we both left with linen shirts on, boarded the plane. It was 80 degrees in Phoenix. It was beautiful. We get there, and the doors open at Tulsa Airport, and we hit that wall of freezing air like...
Oh, it's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Abort mission. Abort mission.
We ran to that rental car hoping it had seat heaters. Jeezy Pete's. It was chilly. Chilly.
And don't breathe in.
And when I first moved here, I didn't, they don't have, or they may have them now, but there was no such thing as like water sprinklers because it's Niagara Falls. It rains all the fucking time.
Oh, right.
There's absolutely no reason to turn on a sprinkler system. No. Especially, like, if there was a sprinkler, you got the sprinkler that sat on your
attached to a hose
that sat in the lawn, and you moved it three times over the course of the couple hours.
A rain bird.
You knew that thing was coming. And I used to wear these little cloth espadrilles, these ladies
of
that...
Of course she did.
They were so cute, and I had on linen outfit by Guess.
Of course.
That was just so lovely with my little espadrilles. And I'm walking across this... this lawn to this party in Mesa, and the sprinklers came on at like full speed. My shoes unraveled and dissolved into the ground. My short and shirt linen ensemble, I turned into a human tampon. A shoeless human tampon. I seriously absorbed a lawn full of water.
Oh, God.
I got to this party weighing like 70 pounds more than when I started the journey because I was packing up two humps worth of water.
Oh, talk about your camel bath.
Oh, my God. It was one of the funniest things. And I was just like, what the fuck kind of... Well, we didn't call them terrorists then, but what the fuck kind of shit was that?
Oh, that's a funny thing.
That's terrifying.
And Renee just made fun of me for days. The day I showed up as a tampon.
Aaron put in the chat room a link to the Ditto Jeans commercial I just saw.
Oh, I'm very excited to watch that.
Oh, we may have to...
That's what I said. It's kind of like... There.
Kind of.
Like, I knew they were just prior to designer jeans.
The Gloria Vanderbilts.
It was, like, right before the Gloria Vanderbilts and the Jordache jeans.
Jordache.
Yes.
Oh, what is this commercial we're watching? She's a Brett girl.
Yeah, she is.
Oh.
This is the Ditto jeans?
This is the Ditto jeans it commercial. Like,
oh, they're there.
Oh.
Yep.
There's the jeans.
Ditto, it was a Ditto brand. Here we
go. Oh, that was in large format.
And then she'll tell two friends.
She's very excited about it.
And then she'll tell two friends, and Ditto, and Ditto.
Oh, Dittos.
We wrote the book on fit. We wrote the book on fit.
And where are they now?
Well, those jeans did fit beautifully.
They really did.
You probably wore those too, didn't you?
No, I was in Huskies then.
Oh.
I didn't get skinny till high school.
Felt there was more of a story coming for that one, sure.
No, and by the time all the brands and stuff came, Tim and I were like shopping in like second, like the stuff that other people did that they were ashamed of. We were going to like secondhand stores and army surplus stores.
Absolutely,
and like,
yeah, that was the
wearing
thing.
the sweatshirts inside out. Like as soon as you bought a sweatshirt, you just flipped it inside out and got rid of the things,
and cut the neck,
and you didn't flash dance. You didn't flash dance it. We were gentlemen, but you did like cut the so it wasn't. You didn't want a tight collar.
Oh sure.
So you would give it the little V.
Mm-hmm. I still do that to hoodies actually. Like, hooded sweatshirts a lot of times. I'll cut the front.
Mm-hmm. You'd give it the V. We wore them inside out. Like Tim would taper jeans, and then we got a little bit of money, and I started wearing ladies' clothes almost immediately.
Well, sure, because
by that
you?
Time I was so skinny that it was either boys' clothes or girls' clothes. I would have to shop in the boys' department because I was so skinny.
Don't you wish you had a time machine so that you could go back just to hang around Al for a weekend in that era, just to really experience it? I mean, We get a lot of stories, but to really be able to be the fly on
just
the wall.
Just to see it all going
yes,
on.
Yes, exactly.
All the tragic hairstyles on his way to working. And
in that basement while he's yelling, hot stuff, baby. Oh, those are nice pants.
I feel like that was an accurate read. I don't know that I'm missing anything. Really.
And I used to dance around with...
I'm sure you did.
No, I used to still... How I lost the weight was I would dance around in the basement to the Pointer Sisters' Jump for My Love and like... Sex Crime by Eurythmics.
Did you have the Velcroed on? Like
no, I would dance around with the
wrist weights,
little weights.
No, we had no
dumbbells.
Weights.
Oh, gallons of water.
Gallons of laundry detergent.
Oh, that's it.
Because my mom bought in bulk. She was always ready for the washing machine apocalypse. So I would like lift weights with the laundry detergent bottles, and I lost like 60 pounds my like sophomore into junior year of high school, and like I would just dance around all that dance music I had was like. Went to good use, and I would do it every single night with the laundry detergent bottles. And
good on you.
Yeah.
I remember the laundry bottles now that you've reminded us all about it. Kat Carlson, what have you done this week?
Well, I think you'll be very, very, very proud. I repaired a lawnmower this week.
Wow.
Oh. I wish you'd have told us. I'd like to have had some musical stinger for that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was, and it may be on its way to you at some point. It's a very, very old lawnmower that's just poorly treated and, you know.
So this is like a shelter dog.
This is a shelter dog of the mowers. And we've had it for a really long time. Like we've had the thing for like 15 years, and we just had it. We had it all tuned up last year, or the year before, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, spring is coming and things are growing again. So I'm like, oh, fuck, we have to mow the grass again. Ugh, because I let it die. Well, because I let it die over the winter because I was like, I'm not fucking with wintergrass this year. I'm just not doing it.
Sure, I get it.
It failed miserably last year. I don't have time. I'm very busy.
Very busy.
Very, very busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sharon's all like gung-ho for yard work and everything. And she goes out and she like starts up the mower and it's just sputtering. Like this poor thing can hardly stay going. I'm like, oh, crap. We're going to have to like call a guy and like completely escaping the fact that I could bring it to the Clayton McKee lawnmower repair shop, Emporium.
Right?
Emporium.
So we called a guy.
Did so you're calling a 15-year-old mower old, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mowed my yard today with a 42-year-old lawnmower.
Well, I understand that, and you enjoy the classics, but here's what I know. I know that this mower...
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
I know that we bought this mower. It was about the cheapest gas-powered mower
about
at Home Depot.
About 100 bucks then.
15 years ago,
yeah,
right. Yeah,
okay.
About 100 bucks.
About 100 bucks.
And it replaced the eco-friendly but not so good working electric one that I insisted that we buy at the time.
At the time, right.
Yeah. Right.
Which was much better
was now. Yeah, yeah, I understand.
I have an electric one, too.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we bought one years ago, and it didn't work out.
And
I ended up giving it to the neighbor who had, like, this much grass in her front yard. She was very excited about it.
Oh, okay, got it.
But, yeah, so it was the cheapest mower on the lot, and it's been doing just fine, and it sat in storage for, like, 8 years at some point.
Thank you, Anand. Yes, I'm glad you're paying attention to my face, Darius. Yes.
But now it was just all sputtering.
Is it lights up with delight?
Yeah.
And I was rolling my eyes because I'm like, oh, fuck, we're going to have to, like, pay a guy to fix it. We're going to have to drop it out. What a pain in the ass. So I got to look at it one day because I had a little bit of time, and all it needed was to clean the air filter, and the choke lever was like bent and stuck. So I just unstuck it and fixed.
Magic.
Sold.
Healed.
That's good.
This lawnmower is healed.
Amen. Lawnmower healed. Amen.
Now,
that's
just,
amazing.
And just, I mowed my grass and everything's happening.
Just a side note, if you should need to, you're welcome to take the blade off of it and bring it with you on a Tuesday, and I can sharpen the blade for you and take it back home. So
very nice.
You don't have to seek out a sharpening service. We have that right here in the Clayton McKee Memorial Workshop and Lawnmower Emporium.
Oh, I wish I could start checking in there.
I won't let me sign in here to play on the chat room.
Yes.
You could just talk to them. They can hear us.
Right. So they were saying about doing a movie related to my life, and it's called Edge of 17, if you ever get a chance to see it. Like, Tim, I, and our friend Mario have long arguments over who that movie is more about. Like, it just...
So your conspiracy theory that people have been watching you your entire life because this Edge of 17's about you, and then you decided that Will and Grace was about you, or that
they would
the character...
just take jokes that we had said the week before, and they'd be on Will and Grace next week. And I'm like, listen, people.
because there's, you've said this story a couple times that they've just taken things from your life and made them into movies or books or whatever.
That Edge of 17 is freaky because, and it's like a Ramona Clef, because is it about me or Tim or Mario? Like, we are, when the three of us have had a serious conversation, like, it's the right year, it's the right time frame, they have the goofy summer job, like, just everything. The music's, like, spot on. It's just a delightful gay coming-of-age story that I've always been a fan of.
What's the name of the movie again?
Edge of 17.
I'll write that down.
No relation to the Eurythmics song.
Stevie Nicks song.
Stevie Nicks, my bad. I'm sorry.
Tomato, tomato.
No, one sounds like a goat. And Annie Lennox does not.
But Stevie can't help it, right? Stevie can't help it.
And if you're of the right age and you came out around 83 to 84, like, you'll just know all that. And they get the music right. Like, there's no bad 80s represented. Like,
oh, thank
you know
God.
What I mean? There's none the of that worst. Awful shit that was going on at the same time on American radio. Like, they go a little BBC Tops of the Pops to get their hits.
Oh, okay.
So they knew the gays were a little ahead of the curve there.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Yeah, fun.
Lovely.
Ryer?
But the only thing that I think I did this week, only because it happened today, so I remember, was that I went for Indian food, and I thought of an aunt.
Oh,
I went
that's
to,
nice.
I went and had Indian food, and some of it was real delicious, and then there were other things that just were not... at all. And
terrible.
It was the texture. I realize it's a texture thing. Do you guys have that? Like,
uh-huh. I do.
Certain foods where you're like, no, I just can't because of the texture of it.
It's all about how it
I
tastes.
I call it cauliflower.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay, so cauliflower, not an okay thing.
I have a problem with that. I'm trying to think of something that I have a texture issue with.
Yeah. This one, like, there were some things that were just really good, but then tasty wise, but then it just went away.
Like, what is the texture that grosses you out? I have a number of
things because I have way too many issues.
I don't know if I would classify liver as a texture. It's just because I know what, right? No, but no,
that's just
because I know what it is, and I have no desire to ever
that's
eat
horrible.
It.
That's horrible.
I remember
no
eating it
ever.
As a youngster. My mom would make it. My grandfather loved it, and I was like,
liver and onion.
Yes, and I'm like, no, we're done.
I apparently
used to beg for that when I was like 3 and 4, and I would like scream like in the
wow.
I would just go nuts, and people would be staring at me.
Fuck's wrong
like,
with your kid?
What the fuck is wrong with her? And why are you being so mean to her?
Yeah,
and,
feed her.
She likes that. No. And it was only because my grandfather loved it. Mm. And so I had that reaction. And he would have like liver sandwiches, makes me want to vomit.
Oh, me too.
Now.
Oh, liver worst.
Whatever is the worst.
No.
That's like the BBC doesn't even know it's in liverwurst.
He made a sandwich, and it was like, Grandpa, can I have half of that? You know, can I have a bite or something? So he gave me like a quarter of it. And I went, and then I did not like it at all.
Anymore, super right.
And my mom's like,
because then you were eating cold
you.
Liver,
right.
If I'm
my
not
mom's
mistaken.
Like,
cold processed.
So God bless my mother and my aunt Ellen. They ate it for me, and they're like, if you ever do that again,
no,
we're going to kill you.
That was the only thing that was ever presented at our dinner table that was like optional. Everything else was, and I was one of those kids that was
You're
at
so
the table
lucky.
At like 8:30 at night still trying to finish
something
because I hated all foods that weren't.
Right,
spaghetti.
Which legitimately
didn't come with the marinara sauce
right?
on it. Yeah,
I love spaghetti a lot.
Me too. Yeah. I'm on board.
And I don't know how long I honestly don't know how long that I could have been like 17 years old and still sitting at the table at 10 o'clock because I was like, when does this fight end? Because I'm not giving in. But the one thing that they served was liver and onions, and I remember like my mom and dad both saying like, you may not like this, so it's okay if you want to turn it. I mean, my sisters were like. We can't even get past the smell. How's that going in the mouth?
It was not optional in my house, and my parents also subscribed to the "you will sit there until
right,
you eat
right.
it"
mm-hmm.
philosophy. And every time
I watched a lot of TV from the dinner table.
Yeah, no. Well, unfortunately, our dining room was far, far away from our television, so I would like literally like sit there and just fall asleep.
Right.
Just head down on the table, liver right next to me, smothered and smeared in all the ketchup in the world. Like, there's not enough ketchup in the world.
As I recall, my mom was not so much the, you'll clean your plate, like, it was an option again, I think. But mom was more like, if you put it on your plate, like, if you decide that you want a mountain of mashed potatoes, be prepared to eat the mountain
eat
of mashed,
fucking
mashed
potatoes. Sure.
She was more of that way, because we can always save it for
mashed
later.
Mashed potatoes was always like, the smallest teaspoon, like How I got fat, I'll never know, because I didn't eat any. I didn't
I
like
could eat
anything.
This much mashed potatoes right
now. Oh, I could too.
And now I like them more. That's why it was funny. Like at Christmas time or whenever, whenever we did the,
it's fantastic.
Whenever we did the fake Thanksgiving, and I made mashed potatoes, and Harrison was like, "Well, I just want to shoot some got yogurt." I'm like, "I eat this shit one time a year. I'm going to eat it like whole milk, sour cream. Like we're going whole hog on this. It's a once a year food for me. Like."
Hence my winter weight from 2014. Yeah.
But back, I never liked them when I was. It was one of those foods that there was something about. There's a texture food that I couldn't put it in my mouth. So when it would come around, I'd be like, "How much is even accepted as a?"
As a
taste. I don't think I ate mashed potatoes with any kind of like pleasure until I was in my 20s.
One of my
I was
kids is like that. If you try and force him to eat the mashed potatoes, he'll just throw them back up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Fake mashed potatoes, like the like. Powdered, whatever, add milk or water. He's all about it. But regular mashed potatoes, he'll just throw them back up on the table.
I shouldn't say yuck. Yes, I mean yuck. Compared to just
right
regular,
on the table. Yeah, you're really missing out.
And in answer to Anant, because I had to look up the, it was, and I believe Anant had sent me a thing about making this or put something in the chat room a long time ago, and I'm going to screw up the pronunciation biryani.
Chicken biryani.
Biryani.
It's biryani.
Yeah.
It's one of it's one of the most popular, like Americanly palatable.
Really quite delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another thing called naan. I believe it was naan, which is my absolute
non edible.
No, naan. It was so good. It was so good. It had a like a I'm gonna again butcher things, but is it basmati rice?
Am I saying that right?
And then it has like ginger and like this butter gravy. Trust me, I'm a fat fucker. I like that kind of stuff. You throw the word gravy into something, and I'm like, sure,
right,
I'll have some more.
Right, yeah.
Please, sir, may I have some
more? Hot gravy.
Yeah. I like that.
I'll eat cow shit if there's gravy on it, for God's sake.
Okay,
sakes.
That made me a little.
No.
Yeah. No, maybe not.
No. And like I said, I just, I need a better ambassador to.
The naan bread is amazing.
Yeah, I need a better ambassador to Indian food, because the only time I've ever gone was with a bunch of people who are vegetarians.
Right.
So they were like, we just ate sauce. Like, I was like.
It was, there was like this lentil.
Like, I know they don't eat, beef, but like, there's other animals that they enjoy. And I just, like, I really was not, and I don't like rice very much. So I'm like, a meal of, a $25 meal of rice and sauce with dip. Right. I was like, what?
Well, and
is there food
like,
coming? Like,
is this the
and we spent like all this money and I'm like, I'm starving. Like we haven't eaten anything. So
the tandoori chicken, like all that, it's still in the bone and I'm just not a fan of that. Like the eating the bone.
It's my thing too. I won't eat, I won't pick up a naan.
Not a huge fan of that.
Grandfather thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
Because I would not pick up the turkey leg or the chicken, whatever. I won't.
Yeah.
I just, has always been my thing.
I know. There are
certain things, but not. And so I was like, no. I can't remember what else I had.
Because I didn't find out about that until after we went to Chicken and Waffles, where it's all on the bone. But he ate it. But
It was the
breast. I was able to take a pork and pop off most of it.
Yeah.
That's why.
This was the stuff I did not like at all. I'm not going to, I can't pronounce it. D-H-O-K-L-A.
Dukla,
maybe. It's a snack breakfast food, it says, from that's made of fermented rice and chickpea batter, and it was awful to me. The texture. It was just with the texture, and the taste of it was so bland, and I thought, well. So then I took this yogurt stuff and threw it on there. Oh, God, then it became
you made a gravy. A yogurt gravy.
I made a gravy out of it, and it was that was quite delicious.
Sure.
Uh-huh. But again, that texture, not a fan, but so I'll avoid that and leave that for other people.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's so fair. Good. But I thought of Anant while I was at lunch, and I took pictures of my food.
We're good.
As you do. Like you do.
Just, no, that's the first time really I've ever done that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
But that was great.
The Michigan Democratic primary is neck and neck.
Oh.
And also exciting Trump won, which makes me.
Oh, yeah, but we knew that was. We knew it was coming.
It just shouldn't have.
Two words, brokered convention.
Yeah, coming. Perkins.
Absolute shit show. I worked a lot. Picked up shifts, and then yesterday I was just exhausted and slept. I woke up, I caught up on some tape shit and TV, was all excited because I thought I had rented from Netflix a new AbFab special or an AbFab special that I had missed and realized that they just packaged it different.
Oh,
like,
same
since
thing.
I bought it a long, long time ago, they have...
But you rewatched it, didn't you?
About halfway through, I fell asleep and I just... Because I went and I just made sure that I had it in my cupboard and there it was of that special. But it was just... It was hard to accept that that AbFab... It would have been like season 3-ish, maybe.
What year?
I'm not sure. 96.
Wow.
20 years old.
Wow.
And the only thing that made me laugh was there was a reference to Charlotte Rampling this year. Rampling this year's Oscar nominee. And Charlotte Rampling needs representation as always. and now where she has the dolphin. Where she has the dolphin in the pool in her bedroom.
I don't remember
that she was saving. And oh my God. It was still hysterical. And there's one scene where, like, in the opening scene, Adina tells Patsy, just fun, darling, just fun. Because they're going, I can't remember what they were going to. And in the course of the scene, Patsy comes down the stairs with, like, these awful barrettes in her hair. Braids in and extensions in the back that get caught on something Adina's wearing and pulls off half the extensions. And it was just so well done because it's all done in one take. Like, they're so good. There's not many edits in it. So through the course of this whole conversation with Safi and the fiance Pablo or Paolo and Adina and Patsy, Patsy takes her hair out of the barrettes, gets rid of the extensions, shoves them in her purse, and gets her, like, bun going. And it's all done while everyone's talking, and it comes out really well. She never looks in a mirror.
Wow.
She never checks it. But it's just so funny to watch her work that hair. And they're filming an AbFab.
Well, the movie's already in the can.
Yeah, the movie's done. Yeah. So you figure this was 20 years ago,
right.
And Lumley was
older then. Yeah, I don't know how old Janet is. It Janet?
Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley.
But she was fantastic in The Wolf of Wall Street. She was one of the best parts of that movie.
That.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
Ooh. So good in that movie.
I didn't see it, but I remember hearing that she was in it.
So
I have to go rewatch.
And just if I may, too,
she's the aunt in London. She's the aunt in London that helps with the moving around of funds, of hiding money.
I'm gonna have to go rewatch it. It's available on Hulu right now.
And if you'll recall, she's one of the original Bond girls from back in the day, wasn't she? She was in one of the early.
No, she's not from Bond. She's from, like, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. or something.
But okay,
there's a spy show that she was part of, but she's not a Bond girl.
Oh, I thought she was actually in a Bond movie, one movie.
Huh? I can't check that, but
I know you can. Kat Carlson will have your back for it.
Because, again, I'll say it to the IMDb people. The IMDb app for mobile devices is absolute dog turd.
You don't like it?
Okay.
No, because it doesn't give you all the
information.
It doesn't
give you everything.
It's abridged, if you will.
And it only updates, like, once or twice a year. It updates, like, a couple weeks before the Oscars, and it updates, like, right after the Emmys or something. Like, that's all it does.
Yeah, it's a shit show.
I don't know if anybody ever updates anything else. Well, maybe when people die, maybe they do, but I don't know. But it doesn't... I agree with you. Like, you try to look up information, Google's a much better resource than the IMDb for certain things. For me, the biggest thing was last Saturday was the... annual street fair where they block off 7th Avenue, the street fair. Well, they do call it a street fair because it's a street. It's just called 7th Avenue. They block it off from Indian School to Campbell, line it with food trucks and all of these fucking tents with all these. And I guess it was a huge turnout. And Stacy's was busy, and that was part of my whole Saturday, and it just wore me the hell out.
Did it?
It did. It's because it's all day because I have to be there at 8:30 to set up, and then by the time they're done it, they broke down at 9:30, 10 o'clock for Stacy's stuff. So I was done. I came home. I was in bed by 11. And I was like, no.
So I taught, and then we went to, we were at Bunkhouse. I forgot about that. You brought that up. Yeah, it was there.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's
so, yeah. And thank you for that.
I can see why you might have forgotten being at Bunkhouse, because I saw Aaron and her brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then I'd forgotten Michael and Aaron's brother had gone to school together.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Totes forgot that.
Drum corps stuff. Gina Florio came over and sat down with us at Bunkhouse, and we just laughed, talked about the show, and it was very, very funny.
She's so much fun.
She is very, very funny. Yeah,
she's good.
That was quite enjoyable. I had forgotten about that.
So there's that beautiful weather in Phoenix. I'm enjoying all of this. Open window. It's beautiful days.
Yeah. And I know people are going crazy with the allergies, but I just love all the smells.
I've had one day where I had a little bit of a congestion. Otherwise, I've been completely fine. Michael's already into nosebleeds and shit because of it. No. And I'm not. Yeah. And then other people I'm hearing that I can tell they're having issues because they're all stuffed up.
But, sad for them.
Sad for them.
Sad for them because it smells so.
And somehow
bad.
I escaped it because usually 2 days after the beautiful smell of the orange trees or whatever that is comes out,
and the jasmine is
usually
start
we're like
soon.
48 hours after. I'm like, I've been sneezy but fine. Like,
I was going to ask you. You said that you picked up shifts at the Horse Pistol. Everybody on staff still dying or is everybody recuperated?
Because
you were down for a while there. What, a week? You were down,
and now we're like going through the last of the.
Okay.
The staff.
It's the wave is coming.
It's not as bad as it was about 3 weeks ago, but there's still quite a few people.
Oh, that flu has been terrible. Yeah, everybody's been. I had two kids go down in the last 2 weeks with it.
Yeah, but it's still raging. I think we just all spread it to each other and got it over with.
Done. Yeah. Yeah, not in a place where
we're all wearing masks. I've had goggles and masks on for like 5 days. Most of the time, so
it's like ET.
It just goes.
No, I mean they really do. I mean, we have different levels. Yeah. But when somebody is even suspected of the flu, we wear masks and goggles in the room.
Sure.
And then depending on what they test for, like we have gowns on too. So I mean, we're fully like
they're simmer sequined, some are ruffled.
They just look fabulous.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like today was cool. I was out and about today,
and
it was
breezy.
Yeah, like I wore my sweatshirt over here because it's been cool. So
yeah,
it's March 8th, and the weather's been fine.
No complaints.
So
I'm not mad.
Yeah,
not mad at all.
No,
all right, kids. Let's see if we can get through this. We're coming back in just seconds with headlines, and then we'll do the rest of the show. And let's see if we can get through it. It's Q Talk America.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
And now we dance.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
All righty, kiddos and kiddettes, here is headlines on Tuesday, March 8th, 2016, show 252 on Q Talk America. Oh, it's death by faith.
Hillary hates the girls.
Whose crotch?
Magic and shouting.
You've been Rickrolled.
We're not mad at the South Dakota governor.
Well, it looks real.
What about rubbing strangers' vaginas?
Oh, and hey, I'm making a drug deal. Can you hold, please? I'll be right back. These and more stories coming up right here on Q Talk America. Marnie, did I step on anything else?
No, I think
we're
good.
All right. Well, there's that. Oh, well, starting off, this one, and I was going to save this for the bullshit segment for later, but I decided, nope, it needed to be in this because I knew that it would spark some conversation, not only in here, but also with those in the chat room from countries that are not America. A Pennsylvania mother and father who believe in faith healing were sent to jail Wednesday for causing the death of their young, sick child by refusing to take him to the doctor. It was the second of Herbert and Catherine Scheibel's children to die under their care. Quote, you've killed two of your children, not God, not your church, not religious devotion. You have killed them. Philadelphia Judge Benjamin Lerner told the couple as he sentenced them to between 3.5 and 7 years behind bars. The Scheibels pled no contest to third degree murder in their 8-month-old son Brandon's death last year from pneumonia. Now, the Scheibels lost a first child back in 2009, a 2-year-old who died from pneumonia. And if I'm not mistaken, we talked about that at the time, about that same story in here.
And I feel like we talked about the second kid being sick as well.
No, at the time.
Like Munch stuff?
I don't remember the
I don't recall
about.
That. Yeah.
This isn't Munchausen. This is just killing people.
Back in 2009, they were sentenced to 10 years probation for involuntary manslaughter for that death. Part of their probation stated that they must seek medical care if if another one of their children became sick. Herbert Scheibel told police last year that medicine violates their religious beliefs. Quote, we believe in divine healing and Jesus shed blood for our healing and that he died on the cross to break the devil's power, he said. The couple belongs to a small Pentecostal community church. They have seven surviving,
surviving children
who I'm sure are now in the protection of other family members or Jesus, anybody else who might administer some fucking medication.
Something.
I just thought that was great, but that was going to be my bullshit. But when I saw that, I'm like, yeah. I just can't believe that the people are that. Oh my God. Religion just drives me. It's getting worse.
Mm-hmm. You need to start watching Bill Maher. You two would have a good time.
Getting worse.
Absolutely.
Now with you with the work that you do, mm-hmm. because you work in social social medicine.
Yeah.
Do you run into that often where people are wanting to refuse service, refuse mm-hmm. medication, refuse? Mm-hmm. Do you really?
We do, and yet they don't want to refuse the services, but they want to refuse some of the things that go along with it. Which, to a degree, I mean, I have to be honest with you, I can understand. You know, just because I'm getting these services, there are some times that some of the things expected might be a little bit much. But I had, you know, if it goes against cultural or religious kind of values. So, right. To a degree, like I said.
What is it, Jehovah's Witnesses that Jehovah's don't believe in blood transfusions?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't and, get me started.
I understand. I think it's all just ridiculous.
But, so it's that kind of thing, because if you're receiving the services, the folks with developmental disabilities that I care for, that also may have physical things that go along with it, that if they don't get medical intervention, could add to the developmental issues.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? And so if they refuse that, the medical intervention stuff, we know that it's gonna
get worse. Heavy.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so that's where the disagreements kind of come in. If you want these services, these are some of the things that have to be done. So it can be challenging with that.
Got it.
But we just, you know, culturally and religious things come into a lot of the different, with the classes that I teach for people's rights, like client rights, what we can and cannot do kind of stuff. There was actually a number of people will talk to me after class about stuff, but someone was talking to me, asked the question in class about cultural, you know, for the prohibited kind of things that we just cannot do. You're not going to lock anybody in a room. You're not going to, they're just restraints, things like this. And what if religiously or culturally there were to be something? Do you take that into consideration? Nope. Not if you're getting paid.
Yeah.
To provide a service. Right. Like, that's the kind of the we don't just
Kim Davis might need to have that conversation at some point.
I agree,
right. Are you getting paid to provide a service? Shut the fuck up. Provide the service. Move on.
That's exactly it.
Now, two different scenarios. You are in a family with two youngsters.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, the father is
from India.
International.
Okay, now how does that play in? Is there anything that with India that just stipulates, and is there an issue with the parents with regards to the children care?
Well, he's taken them to the doctor exactly twice in 10 years, so really no.
Okay, no.
No, he's not.
But is he taken only because it was his day to have them, or is he opposed?
He's neither.
No.
Okay.
Neither. He's not a caregiver.
Oh, okay, got it.
Right.
He'd rather somebody else take care of that.
Absolutely. Okay. That's, that's women's work to him, and he would rather not be bothered. Unless, of course, I do
He's
it.
A
but that's
gem.
All. He's a real neat,
He's a
real
gem.
Neat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, of course, I do it. And then they change the parenting agreement legally to state that I can't take them. But
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The young man in the plaid shirt cannot take the
cannot
children,
take
to,
the children to the doctor.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. No, it's a real nice family.
Yeah, that
situation.
Sucks.
But no, his nation of origin and his loose religious beliefs don't affect the children receiving medical care at all.
And then
I feel like, and I could be basing this on stereotypes, but I feel like the Indian culture is very far along with modern medicine.
I was actually
a lot of doctors come from
I feel like they're very on that's a culture that's very
Western
on board
medicine,
but, and
ready,
I knew that I just figured with what I've already heard from the stories that this there may
no,
have
my,
been an
my
issue
family
somewhere.
Situation is not at all ideal, but that certainly doesn't
oh no, I didn't mean between you and it. You and the missus. I just meant him specifically.
Oh,
I was
specific,
going
no,
yeah.
He's a douchebag.
Okay, well there's that. And you again in the restaurant, have you do you run into any of this where you have to stop a service, or you're all going towards something?
There's the one that we've already talked about that drives me crazy, because I'm like, then don't come to the hospital. Like, there's certain things that only blood can fix.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Like, that engine runs on blood. So.
And resources and everything else, if you're not going to do
a fucking
thing about
it. Well, they're not wasting any resources, because they won't take the resources.
But
so.
Why are you even coming in there? Right. Wasting
waste
the
my time.
And,
right.
That's,
right.
That's, I mean, that's always my question is, don't go to the gas station if you don't want gas. Like, I don't get what you think is going to change, but...
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
But, one of the things that I've really learned is to kind of accept and respect people's, like, religious preferences, because, A, it has nothing to do with me, mm-hmm. and even if it does, it doesn't have anything to do with me once I leave the building. Like, right. even if you do have some religious objection to me, I'm out of here at 7, mm-hmm. so do... Mm-hmm. Do your worst.
Hope you live till 7:01.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be alive till 7:05. That's our motto.
Cantaloupe.
But the other thing is in such horrible situations, in such dark times.
That's wonderful.
I can't have just one. Okay. Like, that's a Lay's potato chip.
Just the
chip
flavor
me,
of
no.
that cantaloupe is so fresh and good.
But
by all means, get a plate.
As people are in their horrible dark times and going through a tough time, like, whatever solace you need, I am all for it. Like, don't let.
Right, but I think for
unless
me
I mean except for craziness, like
right.
outright craziness, sure. which I can tell you stories off the air right. that goes on. But as far as like some people to handle
Hold
things in this
it.
Way, some people handle things right. in this way.
Please don't slaughter a goat in the waiting room.
There's a Hispanic panic that goes on. Right, sure. there's the Hispanic panic.
Hispanic
there's like I mean, there's
panic.
Everybody has their own cultural things, yeah. and you just are like, what's going to get you through this? With some level of sanity. Right. We have chaplain services. Like, mm-hmm. Somebody can come in and do whatever you want to.
Of course.
And once you reach that realm of, like, okay, I'm good at this part, I suck at that, but I can call somebody.
Right.
Sure.
We can get the representative for that part of medicine at your bedside.
Right.
But if you think it's going to be, like, magic
and
fairy dust, then you're on, like, why are
Sad
you here?
Right.
I think it's when someone comes in with the religious held beliefs that. That interfere with a patient, right? Like family coming in and putting their
luckily the good thing. The good thing about that stuff is that not everybody's on board. Like in a big family,
sure.
Like even though they all swear they're up and down that they all believe that, there's always somebody that's like, okay, can I just take you aside and tell you,
right?
Grandma doesn't really believe that. Like,
yeah.
She, She talks a good show, but yeah.
And also, I'm not going to agree. James had asked a question in the chat room. Does anyone know when all this religious fervor garbage started taking over the country? I don't know.
Ronald Reagan.
Zero AD is when it all started.
No. I don't know, but I mean, I was going to say the 80s. Like, probably
It's been this, like, constant beating of the drum since Reagan came into office and gave the moral majority, I use quotation marks because they weren't moral and they certainly weren't a majority.
Right.
Since they got, and it's just been this drumbeat. And then as slowly people started to like fight back against that and be like, no, can't live with that. You know, the start of political correctness before it got to the monster that it is today.
Sure.
But that's really where it started. And now it's just come up because now they realize that they can't, because in 1980 you had permission to like, run racist ads in a presidential, like the Willie, what was the Willie Horton, the Willie, whatever it is, ad from 1988 that they ran about Dukakis freeing the black guy from jail.
I don't know.
You know, all through the 80s, there was that thing of like demonizing all these different people, and you were allowed to do it. It was just the right thing to do, all the evil Reagan shit stuff.
Pointing it out.
So then when it started to be like, you can't do that anymore, the religious people were seriously like, why is it a bad thing? Like, we were told by, you know, Reagan himself that we were allowed to be shitty people.
Right.
And when people started pointing out, no, you really can't do that, then they felt persecuted.
It was Willie Horton. Willie Horton, an American convicted
It just sounds like a
felon.
Donut shop, but that's Tim Horton.
Right. who, while serving a life sentence for murder without parole, was the beneficiary of a Massachusetts weekend furlough program. He did not return from his furlough and ultimately committed assault, armed robbery, and rape. And where's the connection to Dukakis? The first person to mention the Massachusetts furlough program in the 1988 presidential campaign was Al Gore during a debate before...
It was before the internet, by the way.
No.
He hadn't created it yet.
No, he was very busy. Very busy.
Mentioning Willie Horton.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So here's another thing, kind of like Clinton with the Obama birther thing, that it came up in the primaries. Mm-hmm. But Bush... Bush the first ran with that shit.
Well,
but there's all that. There's all that. You just pick an area where, like, the religious right, the moral majority could be shitty on a topic, and they just went with
it. I think in conjunction to what you're saying, oddly, timeline still goes with it. That is when you had the big surgeons of Falwell. You had Oral Roberts. You had fucking Jim and Tammy, because they became all over every medium, television, all
really.
Of, yes, everything. Right. Right. And they ran with all that they had. Every TV signal, radio show, every late night infomercial they could get on, that just blew up, it seems like. Because I don't remember ever really before that. In the 70s, I don't remember hearing. Yes, there was Billy Graham. Yes, there were ministers.
There were just more channels
in
there.
But the accessibility just exploded to them, and they had more channels. And then obviously now with the internet, it's even worse.
Well, and I think it's because, you know, that was the, and I don't, it just seems pressing that was also the beginning of that whole me generation kind of thing. And so people were spouting more. And it was like people were out there just vomiting.
Well, the Wall Street greed is good. All
greed
that
is
shit.
Good. Pushing all of that kind of stuff.
L.A. Law.
Sybil, Moonlight.
The advent of Susan Day is another dramatic star.
Well, and Wikipedia is just really reinforcing all this. Saying that in 1980, the Republican Party platform assumed a number of the Christian rights positions, including dropping support for the Equal Rights Amendment, adding support for restoration of school prayer, while the platform also opposed abortion and leaned towards restricting taxpayer funding for abortions. It became added to the Republican platform to pass a constitutional amendment protecting the life of the unborn child. So it really was like the 80s where that became part of the platform.
Ronald Reagan really is the root of all evil. One of the worst humans. And we'll get to...
We'll get to the titless wonder
in a minute, but...
Yeah.
So our drinking phrase will be any way that you can say something horrible about Nancy Reagan for the next 2 hours.
Did you have more to that story? Or were you... Could you?
I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about.
I don't know what we were talking about.
That was your story.
I feel like it was your story.
Was that still my story?
I think we started with...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We started
about the kids,
with faith healers.
We haven't even got to your first story.
No, not yet.
Oh, my God.
Not yet, but that's okay.
Well, next caller.
I'll
start.
Well, all right, then.
And then we'll do our crossover in a minute.
Well, and they're saying that Hillary, people are saying, I mean, a person, is saying that Hillary is just against women. Just doesn't like women at all.
I'm sorry I said that. I was drunk.
That's okay.
She wants a woman with a slow hand.
Well...
Or an easy touch.
Or Caitlyn Jenner does.
Oh, my God.
Just days after Caitlyn Jenner made
Has she been a woman long enough for us to call her a cunt?
We should literally stop.
She is a cunt.
I'm going to interrupt you and then let you continue, but I'm just going to say we
Thank
should
you,
literally...
Thank you, Kanye Carlton.
We should literally just stop talking as soon as we say Caitlyn Jenner. And just stop.
Because the rest is just bullshit from a stupid cunt.
Caitlyn Jenner is not a spokesperson for transgender people. She's not a good spokesperson for women.
No.
She's not even a good spokesperson for
the Olympics.
Douchebag white guys. Like,
for the Olympics.
She's not
the
a good spokesperson.
Wheaties.
Former Olympians don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, please continue.
With all the boxes she can check.
Yes.
She hasn't even got
she
the box she wants.
Please don't speak for any of those people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well played.
Thank you.
Sir or ma'am?
Both.
Sir and ma'am.
Sir and.
Yes.
Sir and ma'am. That's funny.
I'll continue.
I'm sure that's
going to
get us in trouble somewhere.
And then we can quit. Just days after that cut made favorable comments about Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz. Like, supports Ted Cruz of all the fucking
That's when you
evil.
Know you are just stupid.
Because the brain is still Republican white guy.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Did we already
I don't care
forget
how many
about
dresses
Ted
you put on that bench
about public restrooms?
Yeah, about whose?
Public
Ted
restrooms.
Cruz about.
I don't know.
Remember, we had a whole thing about his.
No,
night.
No. I thought you meant like in here. It's
no,
not in here.
Specific
no.
to
no,
this.
No, but Ted Cruz about the battle in Texas over public restrooms that was specifically about Bruce/Caitlyn, and this cunt is going to endorse him.
Yes. I would like to...
Read a fucking book.
Do something. Christ.
It's astonishing.
You got free time. Well, that show will be canceled soon.
Yeah,
I thought it already had been, but...
So on her show, I Am Kate, She had some unflattering comments about Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. Speaking with other transgender friends who were planning to attend a Democratic debate, Jenner, 66, said, "It's the last place I want to be." That's the last place they want you. So yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Right. When challenged,
we're in agreement.
We found some common ground. Found some common ground.
Huck. When challenged about being open to hearing both sides, Jenner responded, "I'm open," and admitted that both sides should be heard, but then made the less than favorable remarks about Clinton. "We need both sides, and if we're unfortunate enough to get Hillary as our next president, we need her on our side." The reality, our side. Although she won't be. She couldn't care less about women. She cares only about herself. And
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah.
What?
That's my response to Caitlyn Jenner. No.
Jenner also defended Republicans, saying they don't, quote, hate trans people, unquote, or gays, and that their focus is on the economy.
They're sure not going to hate rich trans people who were contributing to their campaign. Right.
So for the moment, so they're focusing the money.
Seriously, twat.
Yeah.
They're focusing on the tanking the economy back to where it was when
pre the LGBTQ
W was in it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Just pre that. Republicans and conservatives, she goes on to say, are not these horrible people who are trying to oppress people. All right, let's just give that.
Can we? Can we change it?
Except for every law they pass or bill they pass or thing they fight for.
They're just not talking literally about trans issues.
Yeah,
for the Republicans, it's not a big issue.
Again, the bathroom debate. They passed a law about public restrooms.
It's one of the biggest debates because of the religion bullshit as well.
I got to get more liquor before
the big issue. They're just worried about the $18 trillion of debt. So the Blaze had previously reported, which is where I'm getting this from, that Jenner, a lifelong Republican, said, "I like Ted Cruz." And that is who she would be supporting.
His favorite syndicated show was also The Munsters, so he has some sort of a...
No, that's the show he was in.
Ted Cruz looks like Grandpa Munster.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think he's very conservative, she says, and a great constitutionalist.
A great one!
And a very articulate man.
Oh.
I haven't endorsed him or anything like that, because that wasn't...
Because that wasn't... Because that was right.
It's what you just did, dumbass.
But get your dick out of his mouth. Like, he's settle down.
Or the booger. But I also think he's an evangelical Christian. And probably one of the worst ones when it comes to trans issues. So she fucking admits that he's bad with trans issues and still supports him.
So you missed it. The new phrase that pays is her saying that Jenner should get Cruz's dick out of his mouth.
Guys.
Get Jenner's dick out of her what?
Out of Cruz's mouth.
Oh.
No, I said it correctly.
Get his dick out of your mouth, for God's sake. Oh, my God.
Yep.
That was not... I wasn't prepared for that. That's funny.
No. Sorry.
So, just too much. That
vulgarity came early.
So. I've called her a twat enough times. So they said the only way to measure Donald Trump's dick is to put a ruler in Chris Christie's mouth.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know we're talking about that later, too.
Yeah. That's funny. It's good.
I literally can't even.
We are only on the second story in the headline segment.
I'm a 20-something white girl on this topic. I literally can't even.
You are Kate.
We have so many.
I was like, "Where are you going?" With
so many more stories coming.
Settle down.
Right.
Stand by. Drinking word or phrase is coming in just a few seconds. We'll be back with more headlines and
Nancy
that.
Reagan's a cunt.
And much Wasn't more. That, it's Q Talk America. Anything? Stay right where you is.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, hokey smokes, Bullwinkle. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It is, what is this, The Show? This is number two. Hour two. That's where I was trying to figure out. Hour two.
Dose.
Is where we are.
Hey, Harrison.
I had a song. Anywho, we are about to go into our drinking word. I have to find something. I have to figure something out. Where's my thingy?
Oh.
Always looking for my thingy.
Yeah, it's first day, yeah.
Actually, we're going to play the thingy. And the thingy's going to be without the video this week because it's not technically a technical, but we're going to say it is. It's all right. Here's our drinking disclaimer, and it goes like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I don't know. Waffle.
Yeah, and it's fine. I'm fine with the waffling. We're just going to go with... Let me tell you a story.
Oh, a story.
In the early 90s, I was getting my hairs done by someone who, it turns out, is now a local drag celebrity, an older member of the community who does drag now, but he used to be... I unfortunately don't know what his drag name is, but Robert Verdugo.
Oh, Masquerade.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know that at all.
That is. I like Robert. Robert's a good time. He's fun.
And he's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
So he actually went to Vegas with me once and met my mom.
Oh!
He was on the parade of people that made it to Vegas to meet Ruthie.
Robert is a good time.
He's a lot of fun. So he's cutting my hair one day. We're in the mirror and are chit-chatting. And all of a sudden, the Nancy Reagan came on. And like, no prelude whatsoever. He just says to me, "Skinny bitch, titless wonder." I mean, that's...
Very nice.
In a Chanel suit.
We actually... No, we wouldn't even give her that praise.
No.
Foreign designers. But she... Just one of the worst humans of the last century. Like, just a pure and total cunt. And just the story that always gets me, just when I think I might have some sympathy for her. She is the purest example of "Until It Happens to You," the Lady Gaga song. Because, you know, she was anti-everything until it became something that happened to her. She was one of the biggest opposers of stem cell research until Ronald Reagan was diagnosed with
Alzheimer's,
and then all of a sudden, you couldn't harvest a fetus fast enough for that cunt. Like, she was just
stop making Clayton spit.
Well, I didn't know. I got through it.
But, oh boy!
And she not only was, and they liked to pretend they weren't friends. They weren't that close of friends with Rock Hudson.
I'm all right,
but Rock Hudson was at the White House in 84-85 for a state dinner.
8 months before he died, wasn't he?
Like a few days, I thought.
No. It was a while before
he
died.
Nero.
He was at a state dinner, and he was looking skinny. And Nancy asked him what was wrong. And I think I can't remember if he said it was the flu that he got. We're filming somewhere exotic or something. Okay. But she was very concerned about him. But she pretends like they weren't that close.
Okay.
When clearly they were.
Sure.
And he sent a letter. He flew to Paris to get treatment for AIDS.
Nine nobody in America. 9 weeks before he died.
Yeah, 9 weeks.
Nancy Reagan turned out.
But the state dinner that she pretends never happened was quite a while before. Like,
that's the picture I'm talking about.
State dinner.
That was days before.
That was 9 weeks.
9 weeks.
Oh, no, he didn't look that. No,
he did not look.
He did not. No. That is not what he looked like when he died.
Super gone.
Keep talking.
Yeah. So, anyways, so he flew to France to get treatment towards the end of his life. Was so sick in the hospital, collapsed at the Ritz, was taken to a local hospital, was not admitted to the hospital where the doctor he needed was. They were desperate to get him transferred. They sent a telegram to Nancy Reagan. It didn't go directly to her. It went to someone else. And she decided with her press secretary, whoever it was at the time, and the story is actually on Aaron's page, because I was trying to just stay away from calling that woman a just a miserable cunt on Facebook, because I really didn't feel like dealing with it. they decided, no, that was best left for the embassies. No, bitch, you got friends. Like, you got in bed with everybody else when they needed you and supported every other stupid fucking cause.
Well, that and Hollywood. She comes from Hollywood, for Christ's sake.
Oh,
she made 11 movies.
If they call her old Hollywood one more time on the TV, I swear to God, I'm going to throw that my TV through a wall.
I've never heard
she was
this
in seven shitty movies, possibly nine shitty fucking movies.
Well, I didn't
shitty
say she was
movies.
Great. I'm
no,
just saying...
no, but they're calling her old Hollywood. Like, she's like Betty Davis and Joan Crawford.
Oh, I hadn't heard
they
that.
Should
I just
say
said
she
that
could suck the chrome off a bumper.
No, I hadn't heard him put her in that praise. I had just heard that say that she had she was an actress in Hollywood. Yeah. She met Ronnie on the on one of the lots.
No, she met him because she was accidentally named as a in the Trumbo age of the Hollywood on the Un-American Committee. There was another Nancy Davis who was a was somehow on that list, and it transferred to her name. Because back then there wasn't SAG cards that you couldn't have the same name. You know, they didn't make you put an initial in there. Like, you had to be Nancy A. Davis or whatever she was.
And B. Davis.
Like Vanessa B. Williams and Vanessa L. Williams. There's two Vanessa Williams. So there wasn't that thing. So someone suggested she go to Ronald Reagan because he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild and fucking everything up from that angle. Because the Screen Actors Guild wouldn't help the people being investigated. So she went to him for help on how to separate their two names and get her name cleared. And they met and fell in love while he was married to Jane Wyman. So here's him in bed with the religious right. Well, he's just Newt Gingrich the first.
All right. I've got your timeline.
Okay.
Steak dinner, May 1984.
Right.
Diagnosis, June 1984. Weeks later, telegram, July 1985.
Right, because it's about a year later.
Okay.
Because the People magazine is right after... The People magazine is like late 85. The cover of People magazine where it says Rock Hudson diagnosed with AIDS and dying in Paris. Because he was dead by 86. So, Nancy fucking titless Wonder Reagan... In her memoirs later, says she doesn't remember the incident. She didn't think it was right. That she didn't want to show favoritism. She showed favoritism to every fucking person.
How did you not show favoritism to a human who's dying?
Like, right. It was just,
So I'm still waiting for you to drill this down. What's the drinking word or phrase?
Anything you can say nasty about her, I'll accept. Red menace. Titless wonder. Skinny bitch. Heartless cunt.
I'm going to go with fuck that cunt.
I like it. I accept all of my... I'm fully prepared to leave here trashed. Because I have read...
Just for those watching, I want to make sure that they realize the drinking word or phrase this
Very
week.
Nice.
I have held my tongue on almost everybody's Facebook page because I just did not want to get into it. But if the most insulting thing was to call her old Hollywood. No. List your movie... I mean, she eventually moved into TV, God bless her, like many people did. So I think up until 1962, she was doing, like, Playhouse movies and stuff like that. Like, all of them did.
Right? Did she move to TV?
Yeah, she did.
I mean his TV was Bedtime for Bonzo, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and she did, like, American Playhouse and Summer Playhouse and Playhouse 55 and GE Playhouse. Everyone did. That wasn't a step down. Everyone did it.
Because, it was a new medium.
Yeah, and there was lots of work, and they were doing live theater on TV.
Right.
She just was shitty in all of them.
Got it. Okay, so
and even if she weren't,
so again,
no, she is legitimately shitty. So she was not missed by the motion picture industry.
Yes, I mean, she is the Just Say No,
right?
For Just Say No to Drugs,
and the start of the drug wars, and a lot of people made mistakes. The Just Say No, and I didn't even prepare an entertainment section because I hate this cunt so much.
Very good.
The Just Say No thing, it sounds like an okay idea. But then all the TV shows in the late 80s and, like, the worst was that stupid fucking 90210 bullshit show. Jenny's got a drinking problem. Jenny doesn't have a fucking drinking problem. Jenny hit a rum and coke. Shut the fuck up and leave her be. Because now kids are drinking cough syrup. They're taking their parents' medication. Give her a joint and a rum and coke and sit down and shut the fuck up about it.
I'm sorry, no. The worst and best was Saved by the Bell. Caffeine pills.
Caffeine.
Jesse Spano.
No dose.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
And I just can't hide it.
I'm so scared. I'm completely with Aaron. I'm completely with Aaron on this, that Ronald Reagan's nickname for her was Mommy, and that's fucking just creepy.
I feel like when you bring up the Saved by the Bell and all this, I just feel like I want to chime in with just, I was almost home, Mrs. Garrett. I was almost home.
Now, that was a respectable episode, but with no dose pills. Yeah. Because now you're making people caffeine feel guilty pills. For taking some caffeine pills. How the fuck else were you going to write a term paper in the 80s? It's the last minute. You got to stay up.
Excited. And you're throwing all the truck drivers under the bus right there. How do you think any freight gets anywhere?
I'm it up in Showgirls.
it was good casting, how she ended up in Showgirls. And I absolutely
understood. I understood the idea behind it, but that whole thing of like getting people to like demonize pot.
Well,
but then they were. I mean, when I didn't find out till the 90s that people were chugging Robitussin to get a high, and I'm like, why would you do that? And they're like, well, because we couldn't get alcohol. I'm like, oh my God, if my mom found out that we were chugging Robitussin, she would have hit us with the bottle of liquor and been like, what the
fuck
is
this?
Drink some gin, dummies.
Have some bourbon.
Now, Robitussin is expensive, first of all.
Have a 7 and 7.
Valid point. You can buy well vodka a lot cheaper than Robitussin.
Unless you're a derelict like me and was shoplifting it, that shit is expensive.
Oh, that's a whole other story we have to go into.
It's just one of those little fucking things that drove me crazy. And the heart was probably in the right spot, just not in her body. But it was probably...
Just say no, good campaign. Everyone goes to jail for possessing any amount of drugs. Bad campaign. Like that's where the two come together.
And then just to do a little fair and balanced, the Clinton thing about the three strikes you're out and the whole like that whole police thing in the 90s that seemed like a good idea till you realize that like three misdemeanors got you a lifetime in prison.
Not so good.
Right. The idea at the beginning seemed really good, but then it was the follow through that was like, wow, we fucked that
super,
up.
Super, yeah.
So again, for those of you playing along with us at home, the drinking word this week is anything nasty about Nancy Reagan.
And I've seriously been holding it in because people at work are like, oh, she was so lovely and she loved him. Cover your ears. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
She loved it hard.
Okay, so Ryer, your story's up, and I would encourage you to do it.
The best part about his letter about autism was not autism. The best part about his letter about Alzheimer's was that he wrote it 10 years before they just found the letter. That was my favorite joke of the mid to late 90s. When did he write that letter? Google that.
10 years ago,
when he wrote the letter came out about
announcing
Ronald
that he had
Alzheimer's. And every late night comedian told the same joke, and I had to applaud all of them for doing it. Sad part is he wrote that letter 10 years ago.
Well.
While he was still in office.
There's apparently a steamy new sex trend.
Oh.
And it sees women paying for strangers.
I just want a drink.
To rub their vaginas. And we don't call that prostitution, apparently. It's now called.
Search and seizure?
A really good massage.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
Batteries not included.
Wednesday night.
Mahatma Gandhi.
I think they call it meditation now. As an unusual new trend has seen increasing numbers of women paying a stranger to touch their private parts. In the hope of improving their sex lives and achieving better climaxes, females are turning to orgasmic meditation. The practice involves group masturbation classes, which promise, quote, larger state of consciousness, improving intimacy in relationships, and generally increasing your orgasm skills.
Just rub one off. What are you going for here?
A typical orgasmic meditation session involves a woman undressing from the waist down while a practitioner strokes her clitoris for 15 minutes. Before setting about the woman's...
Give or take.
Before setting about the woman's genitals, the tutor will describe them in great detail, noting the color, texture, and shape.
Nope, lost me.
There's nothing about that. Like, I would get... No. The group stroking is known as a, quote, nest.
The group stroking.
Orgasmic meditation.
It's a daisy chain going on over here, but somebody's talking about what it looks like. Don't describe the daisy to me. Just do it.
Right. Don't look at it. Just do it.
For 50 cents, you can ride the pony in front of Kmart.
Apparently, yeah.
Yep. But that's not beautiful.
And the closer you get to that saddle hander, the better time you're having.
Yeah, but that saddle ain't a group. Now is it?
But it also doesn't describe your daisy.
It's a good point. Orgasmic meditation has been growing in popularity since it was founded.
Getting off is growing in popularity.
2001.
Can we have a show of hands,
I just need to see all your hands.
There are There are more than 10,000 practitioners and 2,000 already in the United Kingdom alone.
I'm a licensed masturbator.
I'm
first
sure.
First question.
Yeah. They're filling out those sign-up sheets like a son of a bitch.
Yep. First question, how much does said service cost?
Because well, you'd like to take out a loan right now.
No, because I'm looking for a third job.
Oh.
A hand job?
How are your descriptions
15 bucks
go?
An little
hour,
man in the boat. Little
reverse,
man in the boat.
No, reverse that. You're looking to make money.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh. I don't want to pay for it. Wait, what side of the fence you want to be on? You want to be getting the money.
I would like to go to school to become a practitioner.
I think what Kat's telling her is...
go to school.
She's found the daisy. She's worked the daisy. Now she'd like to make some cash. Yeah,
exactly. I feel inherently skilled in this particular field.
I'm not even going to need to see your resume. I'm just going to believe you.
Quite frankly, apparently.
I'll give you some numbers. They don't have very nice things to say about me personally.
No.
That's not what we're looking
for.
They
all think I'm an asshole, but.
Those are different. Yeah.
Kat gets two thumbs up.
Oh!
One on each hand.
I hated her, but I got off.
Right. She was an asshole, but the sex was all right.
Yeah.
Allow me. It's
See, mine goes the other way. He was really funny, except in bed.
It's $208.
Well, tomato, tomato.
And 64 cents.
$208 and 64 cents.
Well, sure.
In which state? Wait. Mm-hmm. I got to adjust for cost of living.
208, because but it's 147 British pounds.
Mm. Oh,
so it's
$208
and 64 cents.
All right. Oh, a few pounds British sterling will do nicely. Thank you.
Thank you. So it has been growing. The sessions attract
feels
couples
like a lot of money still.
From their 20s to their 80s. Orgasmic meditation was founded by Nicole Somebody and her San Francisco-based organization.
Organization
called One Taste.
Oh!
That was 14.
That's
wins.
All it took.
Wait, exactly.
Just
it's one
taste.
Thing to wear the glove right, and lube it up. Thing. It's another thing to take the taste.
However,
I have questions.
It rose to prominence when she appeared on a popular TED Talk. I'm going to have to find that.
Oh my God. What is her name?
Like Ted Cruz?
Her name is Nicole. No, the TED Talks.
It's the web series like, TED Talks.
I love Nicole.
Her name is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. Uh-huh. And last name is, it looks like Daydon, D-A-E-D-O-N-E.
Daydon.
However, it rose to prominence because of this TED Talk. She said the female orgasm is vital for every single woman on the planet.
That's true. Straight. It's the year. It's the day of the lady. What's it called?
It has been viewed. It has been viewed over 1 million.
It's the million day of the pancake times. Lady. Make sure she gets off.
Well, and you know, she's leading to things like moms masturbating during childbirth, apparently taking away from. Any kind of medication.
Needing an epidural?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You're trying to relax it so you can
out. But I do want to see someone try.
Well.
Not see.
We can go ahead and...
No. I regret my words almost immediately.
I just heard that.
I'd rather watch the titless wonder get it up the butt.
Or it's 20,864 shillings in Kenya.
I mean, if you want... We can, you know.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's tasteful.
It is tasteful.
Amina's signing up for it, she says.
I found the YouTube video.
Shut up. Oh, the TED
well,
Talk?
For the TED Talk,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to watch that later.
We're going to add that to my...
Oh, my God. I'm exhausted from that story.
I'm telling you. Yes, absolutely. It's the masturbating during birth, a pleasurable birth.
Yeah. Now, here in the day of the pancake
again,
lady,
I
just want to say,
yes.
Yeah, the titless wonder. I just really hope that women can just make their peace with masturbation and do it without a group and a reason and
right?
$68 or $208.64.
It's called a nest, Al. God.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty sure that men just masturbate all the time, anytime.
All the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. Maybe, yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
all the time.
I've seen no evidence to the contrary.
You don't need a nest for that? Is that what you're saying?
No. Just a soft towel. Or a scratchy towel. Or a towel. Or no towel.
Or doesn't matter, really.
Or just to be awake.
A stiff breeze or a light breeze. Or a Wednesday.
Or a Sunday.
Because you know it was like day 4 on Castaway that Tom Hanks' character like spanked one off. It was like, all right, cute monkey.
Oh, Wilson.
Get it done, kids.
The volleyball's got a pretty
Wilson.
Mouth.
You got a pretty mouth.
That's what there's a lot going on. Like, when are you going to get an alone time to jerk to rub one off there?
I'm telling you.
Oh, the little man in the canoe is probably close to your head with all that, like...
There's a lot happening.
Explosion going on down there.
Yeah. And I'm with him. Who's thinking of masturbating when they get that fucking thing out of me? And that's a that's just me guessing. I don't know. Please.
Had no children.
No, but I can't fathom. I've seen it on TV.
This is the first I've ever heard someone mention masturbating during the experience.
Yes.
I've heard of sex as a way to induce labor.
Mm-hmm.
But they say it's the orgasm that...
That does it. No.
Well, I know, and the sperm too.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, the sperm is part of it.
Huh. Throws the body into convulsions. You did this to me.
it releases something that makes the uterus contract.
Yeah,
like
that makes sense.
Some bullshit. Yeah,
some sort of chemical science.
Red Menace. I want to drink.
Clayton McKee beat that.
I guarantee you, I'm not. However, we're gonna stay in the same general area.
Oh, the daisy
masturbating.
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
For the second time in 4 years, residents of a Maine town will vote on whether or not to change the name of a street called Katie's Crotch Road.
That's awful. I don't want to live there.
No one seems
to... I want to live there.
And just for point of reference, here's a street sign. No one seems to know where the name came from, but it cost the town of... Ebden hundreds
it
of...
It seems pretty obvious it's Katie's crotch. I mean,
I'm going to assume.
Change the spelling.
It's
and,
not
and that's
possessive.
Kelly wants to live.
It's a fact that it cost the town of Ebden, Maine, hundreds of dollars each year to replace signs, presumably stolen by people who find the oddly vulgar-sounding moniker funny. The Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel does report this. You put it up, and in a week's time, it's down again. Charles Taylor of the town's board of selectmen told the paper, "You would think every dorm room in the state of Maine should have one of these signs by now." In 2012, residents voted not to change the name to simply Katie Road.
Or Crotch Road.
Whichever.
Crotch Road would still get stolen a lot.
Saturday, they'll be voting on whether to name it Katie Road, and they're going to change the name to Katie, C-A-D-I-E. Many Emden residents should take cue from them from a city called fucking Austria, where officials reportedly had signs bearing the town's name welded to steel posts and their bases buried in concrete. Another town who had a problem, Shitterton, England, had their very own creative solution to sign theft, engraving the hamlet's name in a huge rock that weighs more than a metric ton.
Shitterton's full.
Shitter's full. And to these multitudes of sign thieves, really? Sure, Katie's Crush Road is funny when you see it in the street, but is it really so hilarious hanging totally out of context on the wall in your dorm?
Yes.
Okay, maybe. But don't just ruin it for everybody else, the story says.
I think that adds to the... Who doesn't think through that? Who doesn't think through at any... It doesn't matter.
I would love to know the origin of that name.
Yeah. So would they, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Where is Katie's Crotch Road located?
In Maine.
Okay.
Yep. The city name is Ebden. Hang on. E-M-B-D-E-N. Ebden, Maine. Actually, I'm sure if you just Google Katie's Crotch Road, you'll be fine.
I mean, there might be a couple
Do not just Google Katie's Crotch.
There's
totally
gonna be some
different.
Upsetting pictures.
Well, no, I was...
Maybe not to you.
I was curious about the different... Because a lot of words have different meanings that aren't used anymore. Like the
Leave
word
it to her
crotch,
to think
perhaps.
Through this.
I know.
Well, because I've had nothing to do with it.
So a crotch might mean a crotch? Like,
for example,
home is not a house. A house is not a home.
In billiards, crotch is an area 4.5 inches square at each corner of a billiard table. That's the crotch. It's also a situation in which both balls to be struck by the cue ball are within this area.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
It's also the area of a tree in which the main branch joins the trunk. It's
you
also
mean
a
like
crotch.
In a V?
Yeah.
Or like a human like
They're
crotch.
All crotch-like, they're but all one crotch-like. Had two balls. That's the clear winner.
They're about to be struck.
Mm-hmm. Oy.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Katie's crotch could have meant something else at some point.
Well, and even if it did, clearly it's very similar.
It's time to change it now.
Yeah, it's clearly very similar.
Ryer, take it.
All right. So, and on a good note... On a good note, South Dakota Governor
for South Dakota.
Dennis Dugard, who we're not really a fan of.
We don't like him?
We're typically not a fan of.
Why don't
of.
We like him?
Which Duggar?
It's Dugard.
Oh, yeah.
What has he done for me lately?
He hasn't done anything for anyone, typically, except
lately.
For now he has lately, because he vetoed an anti-trans bathroom bill.
Hooray!
Which was a really big deal.
Oh,
we love him now.
Caitlin.
Really big.
Caitlin Cundy likes them. No, I'm sorry. We're going with the British with her twat.
No. That's right. The British twat. South Dakota Jenner. Governor Twatlin defies Jenner, legislator and vetoes anti-trans bathroom bill. And it is a big deal because it was concerning school districts, things like this. And he said it didn't have anything pressing.
No,
there was no pressing issue.
For the twats.
Now, what was South the
occasion? Is he a Republican or a Democrat?
Everything that I had read and saw, they don't have it in here, but that he's a Republican was my understanding.
I just want to
also,
make sure
what
that
was the bill proposing?
South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard vetoed a controversial bill that sought to ban transgender students from using restrooms and single-sex facilities that correspond with gender identity. Okay. The South Dakota Senate passed the bill on February 16th, and it was passed then by the House of Representatives. It defined, quote, biological sex narrowly, according to critics, and it would have made it impossible for any transgender person to ever use the facilities that they feel safest and most comfortable in. House Bill 10, it's 1008, does not address any pressing issue concerning the school districts of South Dakota. As policymakers in South Dakota, we often recite that the best government is the government closest to the people. Local school districts can and have made necessary restroom and locker room accommodations that serve the best interests of all students, regardless of biological sex and gender identity. He said that the bill, if made into law, would openly invite federal litigation. And so there were some not super valid reasons, like we don't want to bring that in. But I'm just glad that it was that he shot it down. Although there have been promises by an outside entity to provide legal defense.
So this is a good story.
It is a good story.
Oh,
yeah.
But I take back my twat reference.
I know. That's why I was confused a little bit. Yeah, because it's not necessarily for all the right reasons. Yeah. That it was shut down,
here.
But it was
right,
exactly.
Yeah. Get here if you can.
Lambda Legal had warned that the U.S. Department of Justice had made clear that prohibiting transgender students from using the facilities that corresponded with their gender identity could result in loss of federal school funding. Lambda said that Governor Dugard did the right thing. He did not allow hate and fear mongering to dictate state policy. Instead, he chose to act reasonably and with compassion and demonstrated that equality is a South Dakota value, which doesn't really a lot of times go hand in hand. The House bill would have served, it's D-A-U-G-A-A-R-D.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. They would have served no other purpose than to target transgender young people and worsen the isolation and harassment that many of them have already experienced.
So, good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that was a good story to see that even, again, if it's not for all the, you know, when we put on a check mark that he's like, no, because it's just hate that.
Right.
That it was, they didn't want to lose the funding and whatnot, but but that's okay.
But also, in case you were wondering, allowing transgender individuals to use the bathroom that best represents the gender that they identify with does not invite predators. It does not endanger people. Right. It lets people pee where they feel comfortable peeing.
Exactly.
Settle down.
And just close the fucking door.
No. Well, and that's something I've never
understood.
I just
shit my pants.
Yeah.
It was so convenient.
So convenient.
Well, but that is the thing that I've never understood. I mean, especially for...
Nobody does.
So if it's a men's room and a woman were to go in there, how many guys typically are like, no.
Well, I can tell you how many men's rooms I've been in.
Right. No, but on the other hand, when you go, nobody cares.
No.
Actually, you've probably been in more than we care to know because people throw a fit if you were standing in the women's line.
No, well, they
the
do throw a fit when I'm standing in the women's line.
The governor of Arizona is Doug Ducey.
No, more often than not, I end up in the men's room just to chase a child or two or, whatever. And,
like you do.
No, most recently, we were at the Renaissance Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the lines are long and the boys are with me and Sharon and Sharon's mom. And, I mean, there were guys of her family, her dad and her brother were there, but they were far and away, you know, and our oldest is 10. So it's typically like, okay, take your little brother, whatever. Right. And I lurk weirdly outside the door.
Sure.
But no, they had disappeared for longer than I thought was okay, and mm-hmm. I walked my happy ass into the men's room, and I said, what are you doing? Wash your hands, we're leaving, and nobody says boo to me. Like, nobody ever says boo to me. In fact, I get less hassle in the men's room than in the line of the way.
Because those
women are bitchy, and they will eye me down.
Right, but again, the men are afraid of you.
Clearly.
Because you just walk in and hold your own.
Right,
Right. No, I'm not saying you walk in like a bull dyke. I'm just saying you walk in and you just, I'm here for a reason.
I'm boom.
Yeah. Right, and what are you going to say to me? Nothing.
Right, no.
Yep. Well, and it doesn't make any sense in a women's room why anyone would be upset, as far as I'm concerned. If you have some creeper standing there lurking, totally different. But otherwise, you're sitting there literally.
They get very upset. It happens to
behind a closed door.
Right.
But I mean, there's behind a closed door.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few women's rooms that you're going to go to where they're just open.
I've asked many an old lady if she wants me to prove it.
And I like
that. I've gotten to the end of my patience, and people will ask me, they'll be like, oh my God, am I in the men's room? I'm like, no.
Do they want to pay you 137 pounds? Or whatever the fuck it is?
Look at that. In Finland, Nero says, very different with the bathroom issue. If a man walks into the women's toilet and has a good explanation, woman just shrugs, moves on.
And that's how
gotta
it should
pee.
Be.
It
should be.
Right.
Gotta go.
Line's too long. My kid's in here.
What the fuck is your...
And the door's broken. Like, who cares?
Exactly.
That's a bad example. It was a pride event. But I had to go looking for a friend who went missing in the bathroom. It was in the wrong sex and breaking through lines. I'm like, not here to pee, ladies. Just mm-hmm. looking for somebody who I think is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like...
Go around.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody was like, no, the stall's been moving. There's no stall that's been blocked for too long or that we're all suspicious of.
I was
like,
she's not passed out in the stall.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know.
Nobody's feet are the wrong way.
Yep.
Oh,
What if we start
no, meaning she was throwing up.
Oh.
Nobody was in the vomit position. Everybody was in the appropriate squatting.
Seated.
Got it. I see.
Brave seated, realistic squatting stance.
Gotcha. So
brave lady with some serious sani wipes.
Got it. Ryan, are you done?
I'm done.
Got it. Well, moving along here.
Really took that story the wrong way.
I need you to get your scanning app ready on your phone, please. Officials in North Carolina are warning drivers, and I feel like we've talked about this story before. North Carolina officials are warning drivers to be on the lookout for fake parking tickets with a QR code that open up to a YouTube video of Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You
Up
when it's scanned.
That's awesome.
Asheville, North Carolina's parking services posted alerts to their website and Facebook page on Friday after at least two bogus tickets had popped up on cars. Quote, it's kind of surprising to go to a link for a YouTube video, and then when I went, it was featuring some rock star that I didn't know, parking services manager Harry Brown told local station WLOS. We interrupt this news story so that Kat Carlson can scan said... parking ticket.
I'm so excited.
Scan the QR code.
Just stall a little bit because I had to reinstall it.
Sorry.
Let's see
what happens here.
Breaking news.
And my phone is dying.
Breaking news.
Shitty. All right.
Oh, plug it in. Plug it in.
I know. I'm good.
Plug it in. Oh, it's dying. How is it dying? Like that fast?
3%. You know what? Here's the problem with my phone.
It doesn't skim with your scanner fast, and things go fast when they go.
Well, and my phone, once it gets to about 11%, goes from 11% to 0%, that fast.
Right.
Just for listeners, Nancy Reagan is a bitch. Okay.
Tinless Wonder.
Dead.
Okay,
still
here
dead.
I am. I'm scanning. Wait.
Oh, Owen.
I'm scanning.
Still dead.
Does it scan? Mine, it did on my phone.
Here we go.
Trying to scan.
Crickets.
Yeah. Nancy Reagan's a twat.
It's grand on.
I do have to say because the titless wonder thing started long before the breast cancer thing. In case anyone thought they were related, we were calling her a titless wonder long before nature intervened.
Sure.
That's weird that it won't scan on your phone.
It's trying.
Not with this guy. Nope. Hang on. I'm going to try a different scanner.
Stand by. I do have two different scanners on my phone, and it does only work with one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to try a different one.
The one that I have called Scan Life.
Well, and while she's doing that, I'm just going to let you all know about Donald Trump to make America great again with a combination of magic and shouting.
Mm. Yes.
Republican frontrunner Donald Trump has finally made a solid, if bizarre, policy announcement by revealing that he intends to make America great using both magic and shouting. After his triumphs on last Super Tuesday, he greeted supporters with a cheery "Hey, shitheads!" and got straight down to business. You know what? The faggy Latino liberal asswipe press, some of which I probably own, are always saying, hey, Don, you keep saying you're going to make America great. How are you going to do that? Well, I'll tell you. Shouting. There was wild applause as he continued.
It's got to be Onion. This has to be Onion.
I'm going to shout so loudly that ISIS will run back to their caves. That those career politicians who've made a career out of taking your dollars will have to get themselves a damn job. And that those women will get back in the kitchen where they belong.
Ooh.
She got it?
If it won't work with you, let Al scan. Well, he probably doesn't have a scanner on his phone. A barcode scanner.
What's the app called?
Scan Life. Is the one that will scan it and open up your...
Okay. Pray continue, m'lady.
Pray continue. At which point, when the women getting back into the kitchen where they belong comment was made, a combination of laughter and applause, of course, filled the room. And magic. At this, there was a smattering of applause and some bemused looks.
I do love a smattering.
A smattering, yeah.
Smatterings are good.
America has some of the greatest wizards in the world, and we're going to use their powerful magic to make America
the greatest country.
Wizards
are in England.
Of the goddamn planet. A confused silence descended on the hall as supporters tried to work out if he was joking or not. I personally know a guy who made the Statue of Liberty disappear. So if he can do that, he can magic up a load of low-paid jobs for everyone.
That sounds dirty.
A steady stream of supporters began to drift toward the exits. And I met that Harry Potter kid when he starred in Home Alone 2, so he's going to help me build a huge magic wall to keep everybody out. At this point, only diehard Trump supporters remained, many with their head in their hands, unable to bring themselves to look at the stage. USA, USA, chanted Mr. Trump as his advisors filed onto the stage to lead him away. Is that a true story?
Or not? I'm sure it's not. Okay.
You don't know.
I've tried. You don't know.
Hey, we're going to go... Bingo. Scan it. What you got? YouTube takes you to YouTube?
It sure does.
It takes you to this video on YouTube. It.
Parking ticket got rickrolled.
Well done.
So continuing with our story. Disguised as a hyperlink, the 80s single has unexpectedly popped up in a number of places, including ISIS hashtags, compliments of hacktivists, and the group Anonymous. And the White House's Twitter account, the prank is referred to as Rickrolling. So if you've been Rickrolled, you scan something and it takes you to Rick Astley. Astley himself even surprised Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade viewers with a live performance of the song back in 2008. Not everyone seems to find it entertaining, however.
I want to try.
One person visiting Asheville from Atlanta told WLOS the ticketing joke was, quote, atrocious. He says, we got past the 80s, I thought. That's pretty bad. It's a waste of time. It's funny, dickhead. Sorry. Now, Brown pointed out that the tickets look real, and I will show you. They do look real. Here is what the tickets look like. Side by side, the one on the left is a legitimate parking ticket. No QR code. But the one on the right shows you the QR code, and also the amounts of the tickets are not correct based on what real parking tickets are. So that's what it is. But it does take you to that lovely video that we had from the 80s, the Rick Astley.
I like his voice. And plus, I really like this song.
How can you not?
Actually, I bought the whole album.
Like, no personal shame involved. He had, what was the other song from this album that I really enjoyed? Tell me what I liked. What I like. I had a follow-up.
I have to look up the list of songs. I've got it on cassette. I don't have it on CD.
Love the cassette.
And I may have had a single. I'm not sure.
Oh, I hated cassettes.
You probably enjoyed Together Forever.
We've discussed that ad nauseum.
I need your
the
shit.
Other song you liked was Together Forever.
Together Forever.
Didn't he have a song called Cry?
Cry for Help?
Yeah.
Cry for Help. Oh.
Hold Me in Your Arms.
I don't know that. I mean, if I heard those, maybe, but.
Whenever you need somebody.
It takes a strong man.
By the way, I will remember.
Those are the four I have. Never Gonna Give You Up, Together Forever, The Lover's Leap Mix.
By the way,
It Would Take a Strong, Strong Man, which is, I think that's my favorite of the three. And then Cry for Help was from the second album.
I will remember from here on out that anytime I'm going to stage something wherein somebody needs to scan it, I will make sure that they have the appropriate app on their phone.
I installed and tried three apps.
And for some reason, your phone won't scan it, but the iPhone scans it immediately, which is
my phone is an asshole. I need an S7.
Oh, it was fantastic when you got it.
It's nearly Pride. And
so it's time.
It must be time. Yeah.
Are you gonna go to the? Are you gonna go the way of the eye?
No.
No.
I feel like
you were gonna. And,
checking, no.
Yes, they. I'm surprised they don't play it at the gay skate night. But
they
Amina, they were.
Yes, he's still alive, Jay,
Joe. PWL Stock Aikman Waterman were the producers, and they did everything from Dead or Alive to Bananarama to Kylie Minogue's first couple albums to Rick S. All the songs sound the same, so all you have to do is buy into one song. If you liked You Spin Me Right Round, Baby Right Round, same people.
Yeah. Same song.
Same songwriters, same producers. The videos are pretty similar.
I used to call it the Dead or Alive effect. Like, there was a Dead or Alive sound, and then I realized that 70 other people had the sound.
Because it was Stock Aitken and Waterman,
right. And realized that at the time. When I was that young, I didn't pay attention to who was producing it. I just liked it. I'm like, oh, I like this too. I like this too. Like, oh.
Well,
now I'm older, I realize what happened.
Sure.
Should we play my favorite game real quick? I'll give you a second to cue it up. Oh, I'll just write it down.
Right, or can you text it to me?
Oh, I guess I can text it to you.
Write it down. Would you like it here? Here's a piece of real
Let's
paper.
Let's do it on here.
Write it on this. Marnie Ryer, take it away.
I just did.
No, do another one.
Yep. Oh, all right.
She stole that one out of your hands.
Yeah, I was just using that.
You read that. I mean, I have another story I could go to, but I mean, if you want to go to that?
You can do it. Yes, please.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'm going to
keep. Because I have one right here if you want. But.
Okay. Well, I got to queue up a couple things. Here we go. All right, we're good. We're good. Well, we've all done do-it-yourself projects, haven't we?
Oh, sure.
We've all done
fixed
them.
Fixed a lawnmower.
Effect to masturbation.
You fixed a lawnmower.
Twat tapping, that they call it.
Sure.
That's the name of the show.
Self-twat
tapping.
Write that down on that
twat.
Sheet. Twat
I'm just
going to
go
show.
With...
Self-twat tapping.
Twat. So, oh. No, there's no reason for self.
No, I don't.
It's assumed.
Yeah.
It's implied.
Yeah, the self implied. Is implied. Twat. Yeah.
So there are some.
I'll be drinking to that.
There are some DIY projects that you should really never attempt or to make yourself. License plates are one of the things that fall in this category.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw this one.
A woman who shall for now and forever be known as Amanda Schweikert, who is pictured here in this lovely arrest photograph.
She looks nice. She's topless.
She's a New York woman who got a little too confident in her crafting skills. Now, she currently faces felony charges after she was caught allegedly driving with a homemade cardboard license plate.
Not a girl.
Erie County Police pulled over 28-year-old Amanda Schweikert on Wednesday morning after they noticed that...
she's like a Noxzema commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After they noticed that what looked like a preschooler's art project on the,
just twat tapping.
On the back of her vehicle where her New York State license plate
Tuesday
should
morning.
Be.
What
now,
else is she gonna do?
I'm going to show you. This is what, and Al will be completely familiar with this.
Yeah.
This is a sample of a New York State license plate. That is what... Mm-hmm. A plate would normally look
the
like
the Empire State.
Right.
Yes,
that's right.
And again,
very, very majestic.
This is just for illustration purposes. ABC 2345 is not a legitimate plate number.
Is that the current plate?
Could be. Now,
it couldn't be.
Now,
because
we're gonna,
there isn't a tag up in the.
Now, what we're going to show you is this is the license plate on the car. It's very good. It's very crafty.
Same. I don't see any difference.
Same. Exactly.
Almost. God, I thought that was
same.
Yeah.
Super similar. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Super good.
Super
now, needless star. To say, cardboard and magic markers will never be enough to make a convincing license plate, no matter how crafty you are. However,
I was fooled.
Might we suggest that a little glitter to make it shimmery like a real plate?
Or knowing what the state of New York's outline looks like. I feel like that would be the easy part to replicate.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, wait. So,
but she's bad with numbers.
Well, here's the... There's
no,
the little...
See, I feel good about
in
it.
In the
same.
Center, there's the little...
I see no...
There's a... Oh, and look, and they've got Manhattan. All the right there. They got the,
that's Long Island. Or, but I like your optimism.
Whatever. I've been there once. I didn't really care.
The Long Island? I'm, that's Long Island.
But look at this.
Yeah, the Long Island? The Long Island.
But look at this. Boom. It's
same,
there.
Exactly.
Same.
It's just a little more erect in this one.
I think that...
Well, because it's later Tuesday morning. No,
yeah.
Further South Dakota.
What else are you going to do?
It is.
I think it's about
it's
the colors.
Further South
actually.
Vermont.
Now, yeah, what I would right. like to know, though, yeah. because yeah. oftentimes, and it's happened in this state a million times... People will put a piece of cardboard in their back window. It says plate stolen mm-hmm. and give their legitimate license sure. plate number until they get another one. What I want to know is...
What kind of roads are you driving on? I've never seen that.
South Phoenix.
You don't drive enough. In this city,
mm-hmm. I will keep driving until I see plates stolen.
I am not kidding.
Please
you.
Refer to car.
You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about.
I've totally seen it.
Literally, they put a piece.
Have
of,
you seen this?
I've actually had
I've
it happen.
I've not seen that. I've seen like
all right,
when you're
two
waiting.
Out of four. You've only convinced two out of four
in the back window of a car. If
I've
the plate
seen when
is
you're
gone,
waiting for your plate, as far as like
no,
I
no,
just
no,
bought
no,
a car.
No, 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 no. This is plate. It literally, it's plate wow, stolen, and they've written the actual license plate number. What I don't know is this.
I feel like that's not legal or legit, but they do it.
But at least it's a real number. I don't know that this plate that we're showing you right now on the screen, if that is a legitimately her number, or if that's why she got busted because it's a fake number.
It says "fuck you guys 3925." No, it's not real.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't. Okay. I wasn't going.
I'm
going
to go with twat tapping.
And this Noxzema model is the one who did it for us. So.
All right. Now, Harrison.
Now, what happened? To
you've
her
seen
shirt?
Every horrifying thing that can happen to a car. Have you ever seen the story he's talking about?
Also, I agree with Harrison. It does look like a martini, except it looks like it's tipping over, which makes me
is an American tragedy.
Well, tragedy. What? It is. It's like oh,
what's the martini? Oh, the state.
One. No, well, no. The not
this one.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, I see it. I can see the martini tipping.
It looks like it's falling over, and that's not okay.
Got it. Nailed it. Yep.
All right.
Yeah,
saw it on Pinterest. Hashtag.
I saw that picture today. And you know the thing that really irritated the shit out of me? Can you imagine there's such a thing like that in the world?
What?
Is for the centennial of the Statue of Liberty, the plates, mm-hmm. the New York State plates went to a red, white, and blue. And thank God I no longer live there. Thank God I moved. Immediately upon this, the presentation of this license plate, but it had the Statue of Liberty as red, and I'm like, the Statue of Liberty
green.
Is green.
Hasn't been red since
like a red
days
Statue of Liberty. I don't get what you're going for here, and I get like it took me a long time to realize they were going for a red, white, and blue plate.
Okay,
so it was a white plate with blue letters and a red Statue of Liberty. Then pick something else. Jesus Christ, that drove me nuts.
There
yes,
you go. Sure,
oh,
sure.
Oh,
that.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
That made me fucking nuts. I would walk up to cars and shout at them.
Wait. I didn't know this was going to come up, but I am excited right now.
My goodness.
Because I used to call it the menstruating.
Tell me this one? This plate?
Yes.
Ass man. Yes. With the menstruating Statue of Liberty.
Listen, it happens. It's natural.
Yeah.
It's not dirty.
And I get it. You know, she started off copper. She rusted. Copper rusts to
patina.
Green.
Patina.
She oxidized. She didn't rust.
Patina.
She oxidized.
Well, she oxidized. She didn't patina. Patina's yellowing.
Or a yellow and blue. Wait, green.
Mm-hmm. Still not red.
And no, it's not
orange,
red.
Like nobody knows.
You used a lot of words, and none of them meant red.
That's funny.
Rojo. Colorado, whatever.
Listen, Chanel number 5, titless wonder.
Titless wonder, ding it.
The old like twat a... tapper you.
Again, it was Tuesday morning.
Oh, no. And for Harrison, the implication was just like she lives somewhere where she drives all the time and she's always parking and like there's always some weird traffic thing going on because she lives in California. That one wasn't about her driving.
That's very funny.
There was, well, that was the first story ever that wasn't.
Well,
Ryer.
That's funny. Well, this I want to go back to a gentleman that just makes me laugh. And it's a very it's not even an article. It's a real attention seeker.
It's a pamphlet.
Do you remember when I did the James Veitch, the gentleman who responds to the spam emails?
Oh, yes.
This is just a very short one, but it had me laughing out loud. So it's an email that he received from Juan Carlos to James Veitch.
This was the woman. This is the guy who responded to the sex worker.
Right.
That
right.
He wanted. Right. He wanted
and
a relationship. Right.
She's
right,
a twat tapper.
She's a twat tapper to you.
Christ, Lord.
She had a dog, and we're worried about the dog now lost in the city. The cat
and she's
or whatever.
Like, what cat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Masturbatory like, practitioner.
Mm. That's
what I was
going to
say. I'm an MP.
She's an MP.
Right.
Because you know, two drinks into Kathy Lee and Hody, you're going to call it a twat tapper.
Oh, totally. Yep. As well, it should be.
Hour 6 of the Today Show continues.
John Oliver. They mean fucking.
They mean fucking. things that just mean fucking. And fucking. Now
and
this.
Half of those were Kathy Lee and Hody.
If you're not watching John Oliver, fix your life.
Please do. Seriously, like on the YouTube.
He is getting it done.
He's my weekly reminder for why people should vote, too. Like,
oh,
he
yes.
just has a thing that I just keep posting.
Yep. So Juan Carlos decided to send this spam email or email to James Veitch. It says, greetings. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, Greetings? It has a question mark, which just makes me laugh. Oh. Firstly, I must apologize for barge into your mailbox. I seek a decision maker to grab 50% of 128 million. Yours free? Have I got your attention?
Sign me up.
All in capital letters.
You realize I already want to date this guy.
My question to you is, do you want to be a millionaire?
No.
All you need to do is assist me on what is required. You get $64 million. Have I got your attention? I require you an undertaking.
This sounds like crime.
That you will not run away with the money. Driven by greed. Call it winnings or compensation is your choice. Have I got your attention?
Again.
This transaction.
Benghazi! I feel like you have Tourette's and I need it.
This transaction is a deal which you
is a deal.
Do know allowed to tell anybody. However, provide your personal information. So James Veitch responds to Juan Carlos. Sorry, can you repeat that? I wasn't paying attention.
I like him.
At which point it says underneath, in just 4 hours, Juan, Carlos, and James exchange 9 emails. The next day, Juan just gives up.
Are we all friends with James Veitch? Because I think we need to find him.
We should find him. That is funny.
Correct spelling of James Veitch, please.
V-E-I-T-C-H.
Is there an actual email address?
That is so funny.
Does it show the email address?
It does. No, it does not.
But I feel like we found him somewhere. Didn't we find him somewhere on Facebook or he was... Aren't you friends with him on Facebook?
No,
that was the fat bike rider.
Yeah.
No, I know.
That was fat guy across America.
We need a fat bike rider update.
I will message him this week.
Did you say an outbreak? We need an outbreak?
I don't know. I'm drinking so much of the Titless Wonder. I'm already a little buzzed. Might have had a glass of wine before I came over.
Well, shocking.
It was, actually. I've never...
So,
at home. That's what makes it shocking, was I drank at home.
Oh, I see.
So James Veitch is an author, and his book is called Dot Con.
I think we found him before.
Oh, then he's not going to be hard to find.
Certainly
not
going. We're going to look again.
That's why he gets so much attention,
that's
because
fun.
He gets
that
fucked
so
with so much.
Funny. God, that's
that
so
is funny.
Funny
stuff.
Or he fucketh with others.
Fucketh
with others. I appreciate that.
Donde esté, Rubio?
Red fucking menace.
Como está? That was said earlier on MSNBC. Because
it wasn't that cunt friends with Halston too.
All I can say is that is James Veitch. He's cute.
Oh, daddy!
What? You got a daddy out of that? Well, in our final headline story, and I'll let you know before I read the story, I did listen to the 911 call, hoping that it was going to be worthwhile, and it just wasn't enough to make a segment. But police in Cleveland say a man called 911 because he felt that he was in danger.
You in danger, girl.
You in danger, girl.
Then he asked the dispatcher to hold on while he made a drug deal.
I applaud his life choices.
Police Lieutenant Thomas Stacho said Tuesday that Alejandro Melendez was arrested after the call was charged and was charged with possession of cocaine. Police say Melendez called 911 late Saturday and reported that two men with guns were watching him. Police records showed that he hung up, so the dispatcher called him back. Melendez answered and asked the dispatcher to hold on, but the dispatcher could still hear what was going on. A voice can be heard on the recording of the call saying, quote, what do you need? You need a 10-pack? You need a 10-pack? Is that what you need? All right. Well, police say that a 10-pack is code for a bundle of heroin.
Oh. I feel like I've learned something here today.
The police dispatcher called police, who found Melendez at the location that he gave, and had the dispatcher call his cell phone again. And when he answered it, they found the cocaine in his trousers.
His correct address.
There was no immediate indication Tuesday if Melendez, who was 20 years old, had an attorney to speak for him, but is, however, still in incarceration.
Dumb.
That's fantastic.
Dumb.
Oh, my God. I thought that was one of the best things, because I'm like, that's just funny shit.
That
stupid
is very
stuff.
Good.
But again, I listened to the 911 call, and it wasn't as funny as I had hoped it would be. Because I thought we could have done a crime scene footage, but it wasn't there.
I like that it's not the reading, the dialogue's not funny, but the story's fantastic.
The story's good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is funny when you hear him, because the dispatcher's like, he is selling drugs. He is selling drugs right now. You need a 10-pack? You need a 10-pack? Get you a 10-pack. All right, we're coming back right after this. It's Al Perkins with a wine-induced, titless wonder version of Entertainment!
Hooray!
Stay with us. We got 1 hour to go. You can get through it. Really. Really, you can. Honest. You can. Really.
We promise.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome. It's 9 o'clock straight up, according to the old atomic clock on the wall. This is Clayton McKee in Studio C, alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, rounding out our show as we do each and every week. Thank you for being with us. Oh, my gosh. We're getting ready for the excitement is coming towards us. It is about to be the entertainment segment starring Al Perkins.
Oh, that's me.
What?
Entertainment! On a little small screen. We're going to talk about a new show called The Real O'Reillys, which has a little talented star in it. We're going to search for this thing on my phone that tells you what I'm talking about. We have a death den.
really just
we have
person.
A little update on the Reagan children, who I kind of like. Updates on two TV shows. And then I'm hoping to get a segue into Cat segment with Supreme Court.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. I had that too. So yeah.
Yeah. We can. Perfect,
I think that's how we'll transition.
That'll be very nice.
A little show premiered last Wednesday. I think it's on tonight. And once again, I forgot to tape it. So we'll be watching on demand on ABC. They did the premiere between the middle and the Modern Family. And it's called The Real O'Neills.
Haven't heard of this.
Cute show, kind of funny. Martha Plimpton, George Plimpton's daughter.
I was going to say, is that
still
George's
getting
daughter?
It done? Mm-hmm. She's the mom
from the Goonies, and
from the Goonies, and what's the movie with River Phoenix? Running on Empty that I love her so much.
And was with River Phoenix, I believe, for a while.
A minute, a hot minute, the hour. And she was very funny on Raising Hope,
right?
Mm-hmm. So now she's on the show. It was clever. It was funny. But the little girl from The New Normal, that really super talented child that was so good on The New Normal. And I thought, wow, I really hope she gets another job after
little
this.
Little Edie.
When she did that phenomenal imitation of Little Edie on The New Normal. Nailed it.
Yeah.
She's the middle daughter or young. She's the daughter on this show.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
And that's what made me look into it. I'm like, who is that girl? And I just looked to see who she was, and it's just charming. I guess they're playing it with Fresh Off the Boat or whatever's on Tuesdays. I don't tape anything on Tuesdays from ABC, but it was a nice fit into that families of all kinds of styles and dramas and I can't forget what movie they spoofed, but the Goldbergs last week did Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
The best musical about
you
an abortion
talking
that's ever
about
been made.
Waiting for that.
And
it's my absolute favorite.
The Titless Wonder hated it.
Fuck her.
Just say no to abortion movies about a musical. But I have to tell you that all of my hopes and dreams came true because I stayed up. I worked Wednesday night. I got home Thursday morning, and I'm like, I just want all of my dreams to come true about just how god awful but undeniably delightful Dirty Dancing is, and I wanted the Goldbergs to just totter that line between just a trashy movie about an abortion and the sex appeal of Patrick Swayze, and how you're like, yeah, I'd get knocked up with him and scrape the baby out later. You know what I mean? Like, just in the worst possible taste. And it was hysterical that she's just in Tap in the Twat Land, right. The mom, and then she loves it that the daughter is so turned on by Patrick Swayze, too, and they're sitting there seriously doing, like, the nest of group masturbation, and the daughter wants to have a dirty dancing thing at school, and the mom starts out fighting with her until she finds out that they're going to start dry-humping each other and that she's against it. And the whole time, like, all the dialogue about it and the fact that the Barry, the crazy older brother, is into Footloose. So he wants it to be a Footloose party. The daughter wants it to be a dirty dancing party. And then the fact
that... And the two can never meet.
The fact that at the end, it was about the father and mother finally dancing together. That they had never danced together in their whole time together. And the little video at the end of the episode, because there's always a real video from Adam Goldberg's real life,
right,
which just ties it all in and makes you, like, kind of weepy, is his mom and dad the only time they ever danced together. He has the video, and it's to I've Had the Time of My Life.
Of course,
and you're just like, shut the fuck up.
Of course it is.
But I just... So the real O'Neills was charming, but the selling point last week, as it always is the real Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs.
That show is so goddamn funny.
You enjoy that. I have not
both watched of them
it yet.
Incidentally, yeah. Available on Hulu, yeah. If you're a cord
okay.
cutter.
Okay.
Available on Hulu.
And just do it, because especially if you know the 80s at all, just to watch them get the 80s exactly. They know what's goofy and they know what's good and they just blend them beautifully. But it always ends in a real video from the 80s from his, because the kid was obsessed with cameras that created the show.
Okay.
So he has everything
all
on
of
film.
This home
and you never know
stuff.
What it's going to be. Like, is it going to be one of his brothers? Because they made one of his brothers a girl for the TV show, because he really has two older brothers. So you just don't know how they're going to tie in, what's the last video going to be. And as soon as you find out, it's just too much to take.
That's amazing.
I like it.
But it's always good. And the fact that, like, and sometimes they'll do a whole episode where they just do a shot-for-shot remake of a movie. Like, they've done Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They've done, what was
God,
the first
which
one?
In June is going to be 30 years, by the way.
Yes, because it was
that...
just Pretty in Pink was 30
right,
years.
Right.
This last month was Pretty in Pink's 30th anniversary.
Isn't that insane?
Which was a funny thing to read. Entertainment Weekly took it on, and everybody tries to be nice to Molly Ringwald now, but that kind of killed Molly Ringwald's career because she hated the ending. She wanted to go with the cute guy. She didn't think she'd be with Ducky. Mm-hmm. And so the movie Some Kind of Wonderful is just John Hughes making...
up for it?
The same movie again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same story,
sure.
But the girl ends up with the right guy in the end of Some Kind of Wonderful.
Sure. Of which I own both. I love those movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, Some Kind of Wonderful is a tap in the twat
you look
lesbian
good in my
fantasy.
Future.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
you
my God.
I'm not lying.
What's her name from?
Mary Stuart Masterson.
Oh, God.
Not that just I sounds like
just
masturbation.
She is the deep. Oh, are you not from a. She's from Fried
Do you
Green
know
Tomatoes.
Who that is?
Like, oh, yeah.
Every movie she's in becomes a lesbian porn
God.
Movie.
Like, yeah.
You just can't help it.
It's because they killed
her in Fried Green Tomatoes. Her and Ruth. Oh, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Idra Threadgood, she sure was a beach hama, that Idra Threadgood.
You're just an old beach hama.
God, I loved her in that.
Let me see. Okay, so we'll talk about that at the end. So Yumi and the Apocalypse is still going on. It's not as funny as it started.
It's cute, though.
But it's really cute, and it's really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying that Jenna Fischer, is that her
yes,
name?
Yes, I love Jenna
is getting so much
from
to do,
office.
And she's so good from the office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that Megan Mullally just has this whole other... Really well-developed character.
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed Rob Lowe this much, ever,
really?
Ever, ever.
That's
and everything
said,
he's
right?
been in, I've
Aaron
never liked him
brilliant
this much.
Too. Yeah, she loves it, too.
It's lost how the first two episodes were just really funny.
Way out there, yeah. I just picked it up and started watching it this week, so I'm like four episodes. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so you...
My Hulu account will tell me. Hang on.
The first two episodes are funnier than the rest of them. They're not... They don't stay that
funny. Does it kind of
funny.
Fall off?
Just like this show.
Well,
the first
know,
two episodes were great.
A true story.
And then ever since then...
It's
but,
kind of like
but it
smoking.
Keeps up the clever...
Pick it up,
yeah.
And they're like, ooh, I got this okay, high.
I'm
and
in the middle of
going.
Episode three, so I haven't started the
great.
Tank yet.
But it stays, the quality stays good, and all of it stays good. The acting stays good. It's just that it's not as laugh out loud funny
the
anymore.
The funny just kind of falls away.
But and the because the one character that brought all the humor was the British guy's best friend.
Yes,
that goes on the road trip with
him. The car surfing guy.
The car surfing guy. Yeah, yes. He's just fucking funny. Whatever, and at one point they fake their way into an insane asylum.
Yes.
And so the friend has to pretend to be a patient while the other one pretends to be the new orderly. And so they have to give him his crazy meds up his butt. So when he comes out of the coma, he's
that
like,
must be the episode.
Whatever the bucket list is, this is the opposite, and I don't want to be on it.
That has to be the episode titled "Right in the Nuts."
Right.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure, but it's just so good. If you're watching OJ. Uh-huh. American Crime Story, is that what we're calling it?
American Crime Story.
Just as good, but did we talk about this last week? The fact that FX can now say motherfucker?
No, we did not talk about
that. Okay, so 2 weeks ago.
That's great because Archer's new season's coming up and they'll be able to say more. Yay!
I don't know how they're getting away with it. I honestly don't know how they're getting
away
with it.
You're absolutely right, because I think that when I was listening that I thought it was like on a different channel. I just
because the last second of the episode where Marcia Clark looks at the newspaper in the morning in her backyard and she's like, motherfucker. And I'm like, what channel am I watching?
Right.
Because there's you can say fuck and still get a PG-13. I think you can say fuck three times. But cocksucker or motherfucker is an automatic R rating.
Sure.
Oh. So we're like above and beyond what TV should be showing. And I thought, okay, it's a one-time thing. It was the last second of the episode. Maybe they're going to get away with it for like artistic license. Mm-hmm. But they put the F-bomb in the next week. Like,
here's why.
Hard. Why?
The FCC only regulates broadcast networks. Go away, Ad. According to Entertainment Weekly, the only thing keeping basic cable channels PG-13 is a desire to keep viewers, placate advertisers, and stay on brand.
But the OJ show, what's it called? American Crime Story. Is seriously the highest rated thing on FX in its history. Like, FX, they'll show somebody sucking a dick soon to keep these numbers up.
Wow, apparently FX is not the first ones to do it. Comedy Central has been known to air
Comedy Central does their late night.
But it's all the same spectrum. It's all cable television.
Okay.
So FX and the O Network and the formerly Learning Channel and all of those
Learning
apostrophe no G. According to what this small
and that makes sense that it's advertiser driven. But you know how the Comedy Central, like, you'll watch something at Comedy Central when it's really on at 11 o'clock, and then you'll see the 3 a.m. rebroadcast, and all of a sudden they're like, "Wow, they didn't bleep that." They do it with
stand-up specials.
Tosh O.
Oh, sure.
And the roast is the one that they really do it on. Sometimes, like, the Goldbergs wouldn't be as funny, like, if Beverly said thanks fucking giving every year, but it's thanks giving, like, and all the venom she puts into the word fuck when she says it.
Right.
This week it was dirty fucking dancing, Murray.
Yeah, but apparently, to answer that question, the FCC only regulates the broadcast network.
So that's going to be the
ones that you can get. Again, for cord cutters, the ones that you buy the antenna for and can get allegedly for free. That's your ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox.
Why don't we have Phoenix behind Cat?
Because there's no chroma key this week. It's one of the technological disadvantages this week.
Oh, twat waffle.
We're still at zero.
That's not a technical. It's just a fault.
Okay.
We can still drink.
Amina wants us to drink, so I'm going to say Titmus Wonder Woman.
No, we're having an issue. Right now, camera one is freezing occasionally on us.
Oh, okay.
We have no chroma key.
Oh, it's even doing it on there.
Yeah, it's got problems.
No, but you know what? Cox Cable sucks this week.
But this is not, but it has nothing to do with Cox. It has to do with those cameras are crap.
In an unrelated topic. Cox Cable sucks.
Yeah.
House of Cards is back on. I have not had the appropriate time or amount of coffee in my home to sit down to that, but I've heard good things. Wait, there was one more thing. We have two things to discuss.
Two things.
Oh, we have a Death Den thing first.
Oh, do we really have one?
Yes, we really do. Pat Conroy, beloved author, Southern craziness. Death Den!
I don't think I've ever been here for an actual Death Den.
We haven't really done one.
I don't.
The right on whiteboard is
the whiteboard is just gone.
It's in. It died.
Oh, okay.
No, it's in there.
But I have to say,
we should have put that on the list.
An author that I really, really enjoyed, and he had at least two of his movies, possibly more, but I don't have my iPad to check the facts. Pat Conroy, who wrote The Great Santini, that was also called The Ace in their attempts to get someone to watch it, or B, to get someone to nominate it for an Oscars, which they both did. If you've not seen it, it's Robert De Niro, Michael McKean, I think. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, right.
The Great Santini or The Ace. It went by both names. And it's where I first fell in love with Gwyneth Paltrow's mother, Blythe Danner.
Oh, Blythe Danner is wonderful.
As the wife. Yeah. And just a fantastic movie about a child of the military in the South.
Okay. Robert Duvall, Michael O'Keefe, Blythe Danner.
Michael O'Keefe, okay.
Julianne Haddock. Stan and Shaw.
It's a great movie that it's how we've always talked about that cable channel in LA and how it started to, before screeners. There was, I think it was Channel One in LA, okay, where they would show movies to get Oscar voters to see something that maybe they weren't going to see in the theater or had closed.
Okay.
And HBO was part of the push to get people to watch it, so they changed it to The Ace and showed it on HBO. So it went back and forth, but great movie. And then his other...
I feel like I remember the Ace Network. Was there like an Ace Network? I feel like there was...
That I don't know. But
for some reason, I feel like there was one at one point. Anyway, go ahead.
The other book that was made into a movie was The Prince of Tides. Neither about princess nor tides.
Discuss.
But I have to say that the movie is fantastic. But if you get a chance, it's one of the best books I've ever read. And just a beautiful, beautiful book. A little like ode to the South.
Yeah.
Growing up, maybe not in happy times. Bad things happen.
Let me know when you're at a pause moment, or when you're done with whatever you're saying.
The scenery that was in The Prince of Tides that Streisand kind of put in there was just amazing.
Yeah,
and amazing. So if the book
filmed in Savannah, I think. Oh, yeah, the very evocative. It's a beautiful.
Right. If there's any kind of picture that you can get from
one of my favorite adaptations of a novel that I've ever read. It was just so well done. The way she just brought that to life, and it just beautiful. But so sadly, he died. He's dead.
Dead. Still dead.
He had a couple other books, but those are the two that were the most famous.
Finger on the Pulse.
But he died this week.
Finger on the Pulse.
So there's your pause. What was that? What did you want to say?
Oh, I had to share this with you. This is some breaking entertainment.
Breaking news.
Breaking.
Well, it's not really breaking news. It's breaking entertainment.
Top level. Oh, CNN breaking?
Still news.
No. Not quite that very dramatic. Okay, God, people are getting very excited about things.
Well, you built it up.
But it's
love breaking
but
news.
But it's lesbian entertainment news, so I thought maybe...
What happened to Jodie Foster?
Yeah, what happened at the Cash?
Mary Stewart.
What happened at the
Just
Cash?
Just the Cash.
Wow.
A quarter tip just made it across the table.
27 cents.
Just don't mention my name in there. They'll spit in your drink. No,
in breaking news, breaking entertainment news. Okay, load the picture. Load the picture.
I meant that with
picture.
Love. I would have said that.
If I had still worked there and loved it.
Totally.
Jillian Michaels, who was one of the trainers from Biggest Loser.
Not the Biggest to be a Loser, lesbian, and has the biggest nipples.
She's the biggest Mo I've ever met.
Officially, just got engaged to that other girl, apparently.
Yeah, so.
To this person.
Whoever that is, they're officially engaged.
That's some informative breaking news.
It just came up
until today, when she suddenly is engaged.
Just
to a
popped
female.
Up in my phone. I don't know why.
Now, who is the nickel?
That's Heidi Rhodes.
Lesbian 2. Lesbian is in the black dress.
Her name is Heidi Rhodes.
Oh.
But who's the lesbian on the right?
Jillian Michaels, who's one of the
Biggest Loser
trainers from the Biggest Loser TV series.
And what I mean by that is the TV series.
And also on infomercials late at night, schlepping some device that she got. Nordic track something.
Yeah, she can be in all kinds of.
But it must have been cold where she was, or that's just a very poorly fitted dress. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, are the darts?
Yeah, that could be the darts, but
I don't know.
They're definitely in the right place.
Okay. Oh, I think I've seen her before.
Doesn't matter. Isn't about you.
I think she'd scare the piss out of you if you saw her in a dark alley.
Again, I used to watch American Idol, and I watched Project Fucking Runway, and that's it for my reality TV.
Heidi Rhodes.
Which sounds like a drag name.
Yeah. Here's what we know about her. She's from Pennsylvania.
Black dress
God
girl.
Bless her. She's a stump jumper.
Yep. Formerly a music manager.
Oh.
Based on her Twitter account.
Okay.
Anyone?
A yoga instructor.
Oh, so she's good positioning.
Has a son.
Oh. This is like your story.
Loves to cook.
It's again, your story.
Wow. Oh, they're standing in front of a PETA sign.
She just likes to cook animals.
Loves television.
She loves to cook vegetables.
Broccoli. I jump up broccoli.
That's all we know. That's all we know. And apparently she likes women yelling at her repeatedly because she's engaged to Jillian Michaels. Have you ever?
She's a lot.
Okay. All I know is there's a big old fat girl that used to host.
Is she a great big fat person?
With me, everything is just Silence of the Lambs in my head.
The lotion in the
so there was a there was a lovely, very talented woman who worked at the Duplex in New York, and she would host the show, and I went back a couple of the open mic nights, and then the suddenly Sondheim upstairs.
And they banned him from coming back.
No, they did
after
not.
Open mic nights.
So I had never heard of this weight loss show. But then I went back, and this woman's talking to me, and I'm like, well, okay, I don't know you. And she's talking, and Matt's like, it's her.
She, you know her.
She's just lost a lot of
she's
weight.
She's half, I'm like, half right. the woman she
oh,
was.
Like a quarter of the woman she used to be. Like, and I was like, oh. And I guess she does other things with it now. Like, she's not just trapped in the Duplex in some gay hell, but she's also going around because some season she was like number two or three on whatever the I Used to Be a Fat Person show is called. Yeah. But she was some big deal. So that's the only reason I know
so
that
she
show.
Had tits, now she's titless.
She was a big deal.
Similarly, the only reason...
No, but she still goes around and does stuff with it.
Big deal, smaller deal.
Oh, gotcha.
Play on words.
Similarly, the only reason that I know anything about The Biggest Loser is we have a... Uh-huh. I have a, like... I think we have a mutual. We've all known
her,
yeah?
We know.
The mutual, like, long time ago acquaintance who was on the show.
And won.
And who was that?
And won. Yeah, indeed.
Who's that? Yeah.
Allie Vincent.
That's right, Allie Vincent.
One time cocktail waitress at the Cash In Country.
Mm-hmm. No? Oh, yep. So she was poor.
Yeah, she was. She was once. Once upon a time, she was poor and fat.
She may be again. I'm not sure exactly what the writers
so
in her contract.
Short and fat.
Thank so you. Now I like the reference overboard. I was short.
Tell
and
me something about myself that's not horrible. All right. So,
do you know anything about this happened, Leonard?
What?
Nope, I got nothing.
Shipping, okay. Schlepping, sweps.
Nero had asked if there was anything, if we had talked last week about Hap and Leonard, and so I'm just looking it up, and I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. So the two
nothing.
Things we're going to talk about. First,
I'll look it up.
Two things.
First is the Titless Wonder.
All right.
So. Obama is not going to the Titless Wonder's funeral because he's going to, and I thought it was going to be something legit, but he's going to the South by Southwest Festival, which is pretty much just a pot smoking event.
Pot smoking like, happiness.
And isn't it close to where the funeral's going to be?
But is it Michelle going? Michelle's going.
Oh.
As a first lady representative.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
As one first lady.
Oh, I'm sure they're all going to scream about how disrespectful this is.
Oh, no. It already started.
Oh, did
and
it?
And so, and I said, well, like, and they said it about Scalia. Oh, Annette, those are the two of the best books you'll ever read. I've read... The first one about three times, the second one about five times.
IMDb has an update, just so you know.
Yeah,
they're ready.
They're ready. I deleted the app a long time ago.
Oh, fuck, turd.
Oh, no, because it's awful.
I just want to, I'm trying to help you.
Oh, I know, no.
I'm only trying to help you.
I probably have it on here, but
Culture
I hate
Club
it.
Song. Anyway, continue on.
So, South by Southwest.
Yes.
Google it if you don't know it. South by Southwest.
It's a big music festival.
It's not Coachella,
Some movies too, right? Don't they do something with movies as well, or is it all music?
No, I think you might be right.
That cameras drive me crazy.
I don't go places.
Is it wrong to miss? Kind of. At best, it's a techie festival. Like at its. The most you could say is he's encouraging like new technology.
No, I think that part's great.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is this worth not going to a former first lady's funeral?
Yes. Would you go to Nancy Reagan's funeral?
I'm not the president.
I'm just asking.
No.
Okay, then it doesn't matter. He's just a person.
But that's what I'm saying. But
he's like us.
Do they not have a point? Now, Scalia's family did not want him there. They didn't want the Secret Service there. They didn't want it to turn into that. And when he showed up to, because he. And I looked this up. It's called lying in state or lie in state. Like, how to make that past tense is kind of tricky. Because you lied in state. You didn't lay in state. Isn't that weird? But anyways.
So you lied in state?
You actually.
That almost sounds like something you actually would be convicted for Supreme Court.
So as he lied in state,
okay.
The family did not acknowledge the Obamas. Like, they sent one child of the nine and the wife.
The past tense is actually lay in state.
Oh, is it lay in state?
It's lay in state.
He, well, as he lay in state.
While he lay in state. Okay, got it. All right. So one child, what?
Thank you.
Fingers of fire.
Ooh,
no, I mean, that took a long time to type that out today. I was conjugating that verb a million different ways. So as he lay in state and the Obamas came to the casket to pay their respects, eight of the children and the wife slunk off into the distance. Like, they did not acknowledge.
Because they didn't want
to
be.
So people were saying that the Obamas were so disrespectful for not going to the funeral, but at the same time, the family was disrespectful and not, accepting their...
condolences.
Condolences. Right. So I was saying, does Nancy Reagan's family want the president
there? Ron Jr. doesn't give a shit.
Atheist? And then I found out that, Maureen... Maureen Reagan?
That sounds right.
I don't think it's Patty, but I think Maureen Reagan's a big old liberal fucking Democrat.
And that's the one who's not Nancy's.
It would be Jane Wyman's daughter.
Right. Patty is Nancy's. Patty and Ron Jr. are Nancy's, and then Maureen and Michael are Jane Wyman's.
Jane Wyman. Right.
Who's not a cunt, by the way. She was a lovely woman.
Still there.
Had the good sense to get away from that fucker.
Couldn't keep a man, apparently, though.
Looks like there's going to be plenty of people there.
Ronnie was
a man. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people there.
Hillary's going. Obama's going.
There would be a shitload of people there, I'm sure.
But is Bill Clinton going?
W and Laura are going. It doesn't look like
Bill's
going.
Well, W and Laura have to go because H.W. was the vice president. No, but H.W. was the vice president. They were rivals that became close.
Is H.W. in a place to be able to go?
I don't know, but he's
physically
right. But Barbara will probably.
But I'm sure Barbara.
Right. Rosalind Carter is supposed to.
Oh
go.
Wow,
that makes sense to me.
But not Ginny.
Because again, first lady. It's a first lady thing.
So that's why I said, isn't
LBJ's
he's building houses and doing quality workmanship?
Trisha Nixon.
Oh Jesus! Okay.
Well, Pat's dead. Sure. So.
Well, of course you
got going in.
And think of that.
That's about it.
Are they going to let Hinckley out for this one?
Now, Trisha Nixon married David Eisenhower, I think, if that's the right Nixon daughter. Could you imagine being those kids? Both your grandparents?
She's Trisha Nixon Cox now, so I don't know.
Well, she married a Cox.
Oh, because one of the Nixon daughters married Eisenhower's
son. Can we call her about our cable?
Son.
Just a question.
Isn't that crazy?
Not a bad question.
But, I mean, proximity.
So everybody's kind of sending first lady. So I guess Obama not going. But I just think, is it douchey to not go?
I don't think so.
And then I found pictures of something got signed that Nancy showed up for. So Obama does know her and has escorted her to various things. Mm-hmm. So
I don't think that the first ladies, I think it's important
I think that's good.
First ladies. Sense. That's
so it seems like everybody's sending an emissary or an ambassador for the family.
Send
the
girls. It's a lot of women. It's a lot of
girl power. Right. Yeah. Keep the sausages at bay.
It was incidentally, it was Julie Nixon who married the Eisenhower.
Julie.
But it doesn't make sense that everybody else has to drop something unless it were still that. I don't even think, maybe if Reagan was still alive, he wouldn't know people. Stop it.
That was Marnie Ryer at 9:27 in the p.m.
But again, you're right, because then you rally the former president's club
absolutely.
Around Reagan, and it becomes about that.
I can
around
see
Ronald
that.
If he was still alive, but he's dead.
Still dead. Yeah. And I don't think that it's showing any kind of disrespect.
No.
By any means.
South by Southwest, music and arts.
Go
to
Coachella.
Film. And it's a film and music.
And he's giving some kind of a tech address is what I read.
Oh, good.
All right, so we're all kind of out,
go talk to the people. She's still dead.
Right. She's not going
to Nancy doesn't care if he's there or not.
Oh. And just generally unpleasant. And then to segue into the attempt, there was the Supreme Court has now, we're in this 4-4 situation in the Texas abortion laws, and that shit's going to come down, and there's a chance that they could lose, and it's almost going to become appoint somebody because you're going to send things down.
Right, and it's going to become an interesting consequence of not having anyone appointed, because then you're going to be in this whole tie situation. And if I understand right, in a in an absolute tie,
it goes to the lower court.
Whatever
the
last decision stands, right?
But it only applies to the state or the district that the ruling came from.
Sure, because there would be no precedent to be
because
set.
There's no precedent for the nation. So Amina, yes, one of the Nixon daughters did marry one of the Eisenhower daughters. So that's
Julie.
So that's not really a what if it actually happened.
Julie Nixon Eisenhower is now her name.
So, in this thing with the Supreme Court ruling because it fell back, or no, they actually ruled.
No, they actually ruled. On Monday, the Supreme Court summarily reversed an Alabama Supreme Court decision that had refused to recognize a same-sex parent adoption from another state. Blah, 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 legally. So, what? Essentially, what happened was...
What happened was
the lesbians were together in Alabama, went to Georgia to adopt a child, came back to Alabama, then split up, and then...
Fought for custody.
Right. And so the Supreme Court's decision is based on, and I don't see it, it's based on whatever that statute is that says that Georgia has to honor the legal contracts of Florida, has to honor, you know, so when you're married in Georgia, you're married in Texas, you're married in everywhere else. And so that's where that came from. But that is going to set a precedent with, you know, we've got, absolutely, gay marriage is a thing, we're over that, that's totally done, but there are still all of these laws out there in the world that exclude same-sex couples from adopting and...
Job discrimination, housing,
all of these laws. Right. So this is a really good thing, and I'm trying to find what the vote was, and I don't see it. Because I absolutely had this too. But fantastic news is what it is.
It's one of those things, like, it's a sad story of a couple that got together, got the kids involved, divorced, had this custody battle, but it's a really good thing because the Georgia, where they went, and if gay marriage hadn't been decided last year, this would have finished the deal because the marriage contract that was made in New York, you couldn't be married, pick up a job in Georgia where marriage wasn't legal and be considered unmarried, this would have been the further cementing of gay marriage. This would have been the death knell. If it hadn't been solved the other way, this is the law that would have solved it because your contract is binding in one state, it's binding in every state. Or the laws that are passed. Like, you can't say that, no, we don't believe in that law. Nope, that's the Supreme Court of Georgia. They've said this law is valid. So this was a big deal, but it was really, really tricky wording. It was kind of like a proposition that you're not sure who to vote for. When the ruling came down, I had to rewatch it like three times.
It was unanimous, and the opinion was unsigned. So they're not saying who wrote the opinion.
Right.
And it was a unanimous vote. The court said that the Constitution provides that the full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state.
Yeah. Like, this was an 8-0.
So if you change your name in Tennessee, your name can still be legally changed in Utah. That's
for legal to drive in one state, you can drive in every state.
Regina Banana Hammock is going to hold up.
Or Mr. Cheeseburger, we learned from last week.
That's right.
So unanimous and unsigned. I knew there was something weird in here. The part of this that I found interesting was the unsigned opinion. Like, they didn't.
One of the strict constitutionalists, like Alito, wrote the opinion, just holding his nose about the fact that it was a gay adoption case. But knew that they had no precedent to stand on. And the unsigned thing was what made it so weird. The 8-0 unsigned. And when it came down, like, last Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember which day.
It was recent.
Yeah, it was recent. But when it came down, like, even the guy reporting the story, you could hear in his voice, he was like, I don't know how to, like, do I smile through this? Do I cry through this? Like, I don't know what to do. And so I got no clues from the anchors either. I'm like, what is that mean? I think it was Wednesday after Super Tuesday, and they just snuck it in as this story, but no one was there to cover it.
No, it just kind of snuck out there, and then you know, the news picked it up. I got it off of CNN, and they picked it up, but it just kind of snuck out there, and all of a sudden, whoop, oh, here it is. We're validating gay adoption cases. We're validating gay child custody cases. Like, that's where this precedent is going.
Meanwhile, eroding everything this country was ever built on. At the same time.
So I'm totally being sarcastic.
Christians are being persecuted
If you're not realizing I'm being sarcastic.
Hobby Lobby doesn't know what to do. Right. But the important thing is that if you change with your jobs from a state where everything is secure, your custody of your children, your ability to make decisions about your children in another state
will now follow you.
Just like if you buy a puppy. I mean, for Christ's sakes, if you buy a puppy in Arizona and you move to New Mexico, it's still your puppy.
Yep.
You can still make decisions about the health care of your puppy.
Yes.
I'm just trying to drill it down.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to make it simple. You buy a car in Philadelphia and you drive it to Utah. Sure. Still your car.
But you just have to worry about who brought this to the Supreme Court and thought winning this will be a good thing.
Some fucktard in
No, but you really have to think about contracts that don't like if they had struck down contracts like in the interstate relationship, like what kind of havoc fucking
And the lawyers are like, damn
developing
it.
Nation. I'm trying to like make that political.
No, it's that, and this is a really good segue.
No,
it's that what kind of precedent
here.
Is this setting, and what kind of Pandora's box are we opening?
Right, just to piss off two lesbians. Right.
Just like, we'll go ahead to another developing story, the Apple FBI, continuing story, which has now. I know we talked about last week that. The San Bernardino case is not the only time that the government has asked Apple to open a phone.
Right. Okay. This is just the big. I think the biggest.
That's the
case.
Big news one, but there are 20 some other cases where the government has asked, and Apple is staunchly saying, "Absolutely not. We're not going to do it." Okay. Right. And with good reason. With good reason. Totally, once they open your iPhones, then they're opening your email,
every
then they're opening your
thing,
bank account,
right.
then you're open. Then they're opening
For no
your
reason
house.
Because right. then they have they don't need justification.
Right.
Because they have access.
Because they're using an ancient statute from 1770,
right.
God only knows what, the All Writs Act,
right.
to try and get into it. They're not using any kind of subpoenas. They're not using any kind of legal anything.
Right.
They're really just saying, hey, we're the FBI and we'd like you to do this and we think that you should do it because you're an American.
Right.
I have two technical things about this story, but continue on. Go ahead with what you're doing, and I'll follow up.
Well, I was just gonna carry on with another side of this story, in that a federal judge in Brooklyn this Monday denied a Department of Justice request for a court order that would force Apple to bypass the security passcode on an iPhone of a criminal defendant in a drug case in New York.
Okay.
In a ruling expected to influence the outcome of Apple's fight with the U.S. government over San Bernardino's killer. The San Bernardino killer, Judge James Ornstein, ruled government lawyers failed to establish that the federal All Writs Act the government is relying on to seek the order applies in the case. He says the question is not whether the government should be able to force Apple to help it unlock a specific device. It is instead whether the All Writs Act resolves the issue and many others like it to come. So we've got, starting at the very beginning of this, that is going to go to the Supreme Court. Like, you can only see this going to the Supreme Court. One federal judge in New York says, you know what? No. Government,
no.
You don't. Yeah. Knock, knock. Who's there? No. You don't have the authority. This act, the All Writs Act, which I haven't bothered to go and read just yet, does not cover this case. It does not give you the rights to that.
Sure.
So, developing story, developing news, like it's important.
I just
and
think
pay
you
attention
open that
to
one
it.
Door,
it's Pandora's box.
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Open my iPhone, then open
it's
my email,
clown
then,
car.
Then open my wallet, then
absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, the world I work in, and by all means, anybody in the chat room, feel free to chime in. I'm not saying this is gospel, but this is what I'm told. Somebody who's very close to me in the techie world has said that, and if you don't realize this, in your iPhone, there is a hard drive. Just like in your computer, there is a hard drive that runs all the time. What his suggestion was is that they disassemble the phone and they make an exact copy, if not multiple copies, of said hard drive.
Sure, image the drive.
Image the drive, multiple times. Take it, try it, try to break in, do whatever you've got to do. And then once they figure it out, then they come back to the original phone, they've got it. So Apple doesn't necessarily have to break into the phone. They have ways of copying the drive and figuring out. But one of the things is that, as I understand it, I'm not that techie with regards to this, but I'm told that the iPhone has been created so that it will only take input from that surface. You can't hook up that drive to another computer or whatever and do input. It won't take that input. You can simply mirror image it, And you have to put it into an another iPhone and use a screen to try to get in and so forth. But that would leave the original hard drive intact. Like, it might lock you out of replicates 1 through 1,000,000, but it won't lock you out of the original. So it won't dissolve, it won't destroy it, it won't erase it. You can do it on multiple copies of it, but the original, once you figure it out, once you figure out what the secret soup is,
right,
or the secret sauce, going back to your sauce.
Secrets in the sauce.
Secrets in the sauce.
But you can go back to the original. Now, if that is not the way that it really works, I don't know, but that's what I was told. But he's like, you can make a copy of the hard drive, you can replicate it, try it all you want, do what you want to do to it, leave the original intact, come back later when you figure out what it is, and you're in.
Because I've heard that the only thing that they need, before your two things, is that they can't open the four-digit passcode, which makes me really confident about my four-digit passcode.
Which now has gone to 6 with an update. If you have a passcode and you take it away and you put it back, it's now 6-digit. It's no longer 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've upped it. Because I just reset mine the other day, and I'm like, oh, fuck, now I have to have 2 digits. Because I'd been set on my 4 digits forever, and then something caused me to have to make me think that I need to re-up my security. And then I put it back.
Well, that would be this story.
Was it this story?
Yeah.
It was not this story, but...
Well, two things. Number one, I think your friend should probably call the FBI and tell them that.
Oh, I don't think it's going to matter to them. But I agree with what you're saying.
Well, no, because their ultimate goal, allegedly, is to get into this phone. So if they can do it without making Apple do it, all the
better.
Well,
there was a YouTube video about how to get into the phone, and oddly...
I feel like that's bullshit. Did you try it?
I tried it, and the funny thing is, because I think the version they're using is an older version.
Maybe.
And if you've updated your phone, it doesn't have that option to do the messaging or whatever they were
going
to do.
Because
I completely tried. Actually, that is what made me put a security code on it.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I didn't have one. I'm like, well, I have to put a code on to try the video. And I totally did it. I absolutely did that. And it doesn't... I can't, because you can't get past that step anymore.
I feel like it's not going to work, because I feel like the FBI would have at least done a basic Google search before, you know, dragging Apple Corporation to court.
Apparently Joe is agreeing with me in the chat room that I'm correct in what I'm saying.
Well, thing number two is that it's my understanding that the more times you try and fail to get into the iPhone, it's going to just erase entirely and be gone forever.
Right, it will. That's why you make a copy of the drive, and then you can erase it back in. You erase the drives down the line, but you don't erase the original.
I see.
Oh, and Nero says, she has an iris scanner on her.
Oh, I don't have that on my phone.
Crazy.
That's exciting.
That is.
I want one of those.
It's like in all those movies, and then they cut out your eye.
Yeah.
And they're like,
that leads to no good.
Yes. Watch your eyes.
I've just cut off my eyes. Just don't make it the twat tapper.
They always rip the whole thing out.
Maggie
optic
Thatcher.
Nerve and all, too, though. That optic nerve must be a lot.
Apparently, yeah.
And then the other thing that I understand from kind of like loosely following this story is that Apple says that they would have to like completely rewrite their encryption in their software, because there is no back way in right now. And that's the thing that they're really resisting the most, is creating that back door.
I've heard that over, the back door thing has been over and over, not just in my life, but in Apple.
Those peg pants. Taper leg.
Zippers in the back.
Because anybody that's ever had a rat problem knows that if you leave a crack open, like something else
again
is going to get in, right?
We just go back to...
But I do have to admit that's Apple's story, they're hitting it like a Republican talking point. Like, they just keep saying, like, we did not design this way. We will not put it in because it changes the operation.
Well, who's the head Apple guy? Isn't that Cook?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tim Cook.
Right, he's the one that's saying
Tim, exactly.
However, no, I agree that they have all of their proprietary...
He doesn't go by his full name anymore.
Not anymore.
They have all the proprietary software they created. I get that. Now, that doesn't say, and I'm sure there are all over the fucking world, there are people that are sitting in little rooms all alone, have never had a date, and never went to their prom, who are sitting there trying to...
Some of them maybe are listeners.
Yeah. They might be twat tappers.
By the way, I also don't think
And if they're
that
working on making
deal.
The back door into the phone, they will be very wealthy people, because they can sell on the black market, and I'm sure that is being worked on somewhere, somehow.
They also may have had a date.
Yes.
And may have gone to their prom.
That's always been a big thing.
I'm just talking about me. I can't design it.
Yeah.
I didn't go to my prom.
I thought this was more personal.
And
this time it's personal.
That seems awfully specific.
I can guarantee there are
the squirrels are in the attic.
There are people out there working on this and more and more. When the iPhone first came out, it was the biggest thing in the world to be able to jailbreak your phone.
So that I do remember that.
So that it wasn't tied to your network carrier, so that you could take your AT&T phone over to T-Mobile. Like, jailbreaking your phone was a big thing.
But then only certain apps wouldn't work, certain things wouldn't.
We have to give Aaron credit for calling the iris scan an iLock.
It's good.
I'm going to give him the win for this week.
Very good. Very good, Aaron.
Very nice.
We all ring our cleaned up, polished bells.
I like it.
So anyway,
very nice,
thank you.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. Hope that this goes the right direction. Because if it doesn't, we're all in a lot more trouble than...
I know everybody thinks I just clung to my Wilma Flintstone longer, but there was no fucking way I was going to have a big fancy phone and be on AT&T goddamn wireless. I would rather be on the Nancy Reagan's twat line than ever deal with AT&T wireless.
I'm not sure if that's a bad... I don't know
that
what
was
that
the
is,
shittiest but, yeah. cell phone yeah. service available.
I have AT&T and I have wonderful service.
And that's regional?
But maybe that's different. 20 right. years later.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, right. It's different now.
That's, a lot of times that's regional because when we first moved here... it's been 13 years now. When we first moved here, we came from AT&T land. Like, AT&T was the network to have. It was the best coverage. It was everything, everything, everything. And then we moved here. It's more Verizon land here. So it's very...
And New York
very...
is Verizon land, too, because every time I'm in New York, you just watch the AT&T people crying in their coffee and not able to get service while I'm texting on a subway.
Yeah, and it's... I don't understand it 100%. It's all about, like, who put up the infrastructure and who's got the towers and who's buying the service time. That's very, very complicated. But that's all regional. Like, AT&T's great some places.
It's progressing every single day. Like, everybody and their brother is putting up another...
Well, I remember the AT&T stores had that map up in, like, 2004, 2005 of, like, here's all the places we'll be in 5 years. I'm like, well, I got a phone right now. When are you going to be in North Phoenix?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was bullshit.
Yeah, and those maps are getting more and more...
And that
and
was
more
honestly one of the big factors. Until Verizon was allowed in on the iPhone thing, I'm like, me and Wilma are going to be just fine. Because I'm getting service while people with iPhones are like...
Right. Although that iPhone craze did get me out of a really horrible contract with a BlackBerry Storm one time. Because I was banging it on the counter telling them I was going to walk across the street to AT&T. And they were like, okay, what do you want? What do you want?
A BlackBerry Storm.
I had a BlackBerry.
I don't know what it is, but it sounds exciting.
But that's not...
Did it vibrate?
What was the horrible touchscreen BlackBerry that eventually just died on me? And they were like, oh, we can't do anything. So I'm banging the fucking thing on the counter, like, seriously losing my mind.
This lesbian's losing her mind. I got a 417 at the front counter.
I got lesbian off.
Seriously.
And not in the twat tapper way.
Twat tapper.
If my phone, my laptop, or my flannel shirts go out, I lose my shit.
What used to kill me is watching somebody back in the day. And
I know your boundaries now.
They were called the sidekick, and they'd whip out that phone and flip it around and had the screen that flipped up, and they would do it sideways. It had the keyboard hidden, but they would flip it, and the screen would flip up to the side.
T-Mobile had the sidekick.
It literally was like this. They'd flip up an entire screen. Don't you remember that?
Yep.
Cracked me up to watch people use that motherfucker. And it was this thing.
I was the fastest fucking typer on that thing. I
honestly never paid that much attention to people's phones.
I'm going
to
find a picture of it.
Mine slid. Mine didn't flip. Mine slid.
Oh, there was a slider, but I'm talking about the one that flipped, that rotated.
The slider sounds vague.
All right.
Maybe I can find a video. That'd be exciting.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, God. Continue on.
Well, here's something fun. Did you know that Yoda is running for president?
No.
Running for president?
Don't do it.
No, I was trying. I couldn't think fast enough. Yeah. That's normal.
Oh,
so is Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker separately, of course, Kylo Ren, and Bye Felicia.
Bye Felicia!
No. If we're lucky, maybe Jesus Christ and the Antichrist will face off. Katniss Everdeen could save us all. Tyrion Lannister could get us all out of our budget crunch. Or Abraham Lincoln could make a comeback that we're waiting for.
If only he could sit upright in a casket.
Right?
That's right.
Well, he's turning over, rolling over in it. That's for sure.
Turns out, if you're looking for a good time, go take a look at the Federal Election Commission website and see who has filed statements of candidacy.
Candidacy.
I know I said it right.
You did.
Candidacy.
It didn't sound right.
That's right.
Because it turns out, and I think we touched on this a little bit last week, 1,661 people have filed with the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, declaring their candidacy for presidency.
Ooh.
The most fun on the list have been compiled here.
Sure.
You're welcome. They include...
You're welcome.
Thank you ahead of time.
They include, but are not limited to, the Antichrist.
But Cruz is already on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard to grant, so...
Lil-based God.
Tammy Faye's dead.
Elsa is bae.
Oh.
Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
He's very in shape now.
He is.
Apparently.
He's pumped up.
Underage candidate. Eric Cartman. Buddy the Cat. Seymour Cats. Foot Cheese. Frosted Chicken.
Kitty,
Jesus
kitty,
Christ.
Foot Cheese. That's my chocolate thing about
America
that.
Cookies. Lagoon the Dolphin Costello. Lagoon the Dolphin Costello. Excuse me.
The Dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Nostalgic Critic. Captain
Frappy.
Crunch.
Frappy. Frappy. The Dolphin.
Southern Dad, Cam Sir Daddy, Disco Daddy, Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, Disco Daddy I might vote for.
You're going to vote for Disco Daddy?
Disco Daddy
Disco
could
Daddy
be.
For president.
He might be from 70, and he might have been to Studio 54.
Katniss
Hi,
Everdeen,
Dale.
Bye Felicia, Yoda for Prez.
Dale Spice.
Kermit Frog,
Dale
Pepe
Spice.
Le Frog.
Hey, Dale.
God for President. So Hi, it turns
ho.
Out...
Kermit the Frog
And
here.
This list is just long. Like, I'm still scrolling.
I see it.
But it turns out... Just about anybody can file their candidacy for president.
Sure.
I thought about it, but I just
did you?
But now, yeah. Okay.
Under what name?
So
my name.
Now oh, Dale, right. Dale from New York City, we've heard from you before, but...
President McKee.
Now, you know Dale.
McCheese.
I don't know who Chip is.
Is that Dale's
That's
piece?
Uncle Chip.
Your Uncle Chip?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if that's... I call him Uncle Chip. Dale is Uncle Chip, but I don't think that's...
Dale from New York City, you call him Uncle Chip?
I do
Dale, I don't know
Chip.
Who Dale's dating now, but Dale used to date an adorable young man. When it was at your mother's birthday party, I never could figure out how to stalk that one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. But,
yes.
So Chip is Amina is a synonym. So did you hear all the stuff about Bloomberg calling off his run and the money it would take for all these people? They can get on certain states, but they can't get
Absolutely.
On all 50 states. And how much money and signatures it takes to get on the ballot?
Like $7.
No.
Kidding.
Like,
no. You can file with the FEC.
What's it cost? $150.
That does cost. What it takes to get on each state's ballot? Standby.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
So it was a big thing. So, but he did his polling, and according to his press secretary, did like because he's a billionaire and had the money to spend.
Sure.
That he was going to get in as a third party candidate and announce sometime this month. Because in his mind, it would have been Trump, Sanders, and him.
Sure.
And that he would win, that in the Electoral College, with those two running,
between Trump
and
Sanders.
With all the people that Trump has turned off, and Sanders, and the fear of like the Democratic socialism, that Bloomberg, with his name recognition and like where he could fall as a mostly Republican that supports a lot of Democratic ideals, that he could win the Electoral College. But when it became what looks like it's going to be a Trump-Clinton thing, mm-hmm. that him is the third, that no one of the three of them could have gotten to the 270, so it would have went to the Congress to decide.
And he, right.
And they would have picked
Obviously,
Trump.
Obviously, they would have picked Trump.
Picked
right.
Trump. I don't know. If you get a chance, read about it. They released a lot of data, but if you read about the polling that they've done, and they figure just by money alone spent and the time that they spent under the cloak of darkness, because no one really knew they were doing it. I mean, there was
sure,
rumors.
Sure, because you have to explore first before you can even
But they
you have
went
to see
all
if it's
50
feasible.
States. Like, they did a Nate, what's that Nate guy's name? Nate?
Silverman.
Silverman.
Right.
They did the Nate Silverman and found out, like, what the Electoral College looks like now. And, mm-hmm. like, it was scary shit that they were reporting. And just how well a third-party candidate... So if Trump goes to third party, he'll siphon off mostly Republican, but a lot of Democratic
yeah.
voters as well. But he'll siphon off. But the way that they figured the siphoning would go, like if you're still the right third party candidate against Sanders and Trump, like you could do really well.
Awesome.
And especially since it looks like, I mean, there's no, it's too close to call in Michigan still, but with just really crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot. Yeah, I ran across
the fact that anyone's still fucking voting for him is
cool. I may have to say
But
save
I mean
it for
take
later.
But take a look cuz they released almost all the data now, the Bloomberg people.
Mm-hmm.
So they have accurate polling from all 50 states because they figured out the entire electoral map because of how you get to 270. They needed to find out like where does Alaska fall?
Okay.
Because it came down to twos and threes of, you know what I mean, those states that seem inconsequential.
Right, right.
But when it comes down to getting to 270 and somebody got to 268, it was a big deal. So they had to do the polling in every single state, and it's fascinating.
Huh. I've looked. Does that, is he familiar to you?
Yeah, because it looks like you have to...
I can't find a picture
to, from jump
when
in
he
as an
here.
Independent candidate, you know, without the primary structure that the Republicans and the Democrats have, you almost have to get petitioned and balloted in all 50 states like all at once.
Yeah, all at
like
once.
You have to do what he's been doing. He's just bailing out of it. You have to do what he's been doing, which is send all your minions out and do your polling and start to get your signatures.
And you need like 200,000 signatures, but because depending on if it's a Democrat or Republican, and they're both bad, there's no one good in this situation. Who controls the election board in your state?
Right.
They'll throw out so many. So even though it says you only need 200,000, you need more like 700,000 to make up for all that they're going to throw out and claim are invalid signatures. It really is a fast, and I hope one of the people that did it with him will write the book, like, into the glimpse of how locked we are in the system. And like,
all right. This article that I found from NBCNews.com is from 2007, and it's talking about, who's it talking about? I think it's just, it's talking about Michael Bloomberg in 2007. Bottom line, what's it going to cost to run for president? How much would it cost to get on the ballot in all 50 states? And according to this, a candidate would need a total of 700,000 signatures nationwide. And it could be done for less than $2.5 million.
But you'd almost have to be self-funded because you don't know who your backers are. So, and the other thing about like, especially with how badly Rubio has done. Unless he won, Idaho just
really
closed.
Really badly. He didn't.
I don't know.
Hang on, let me go back to CNN.
I don't know.
I haven't
won
seen
Idaho.
That come across my phone yet.
Or maybe Idaho closes in 5 minutes. I'm not sure which. but you figure in a year of like huge political stories that just don't seem to stop.
Well, they don't have Idaho on here.
Remember earlier? Sorry. That's side okay. note.
No, go.
Remember before the show, I told you that 20 dogs were rescued from a house fire that a kid had set. Remember I told you that? Okay.
Yeah.
So the update is 30 dogs, a chinchilla, and a lizard have been rescued from a valley house fire. I just think it's funny that there's a chinchilla and a lizard.
Well, once you got 30 dogs.
But 30 dogs. There may have been a hoarding issue going on there.
Idaho is reporting 41% in. They haven't called anything yet, but right now they're showing Cruz in the lead at 41% of the vote.
Oh, wow. So with all this
Rubio
talk,
in third with 18%.
Exactly. So with all this talk about Citizens United and getting money out of politics, not only did Mittens, as we're talking about in the chat room, not only did Mittens not win with Sheldon
I never thought
in
I'd be
Las
so
Vegas.
Excited to see Mittens in my life.
Right. But not only did What's-His-Butt all that money in Las Vegas and then all of Karl Rove's PAC money didn't win the Senate in 2012, didn't win the presidential election, but now $100 million spent on Bush the Third.
Mm-hmm.
Jeb! I almost forgot his name. Who can't even make $100 million doesn't even get you to Super Tuesday, but now all that money from the super PACs all went to Rubio, and Rubio's not even
he's failing.
He's not even in the horse race.
He's won, I think, two states?
Yeah, he won Puerto Rico and Minnesota so far. They're
and
saying,
Puerto Rico's not a state, for those of you paying attention.
But they count. But they don't get to vote in the... And one of their big bitches is that they don't get dealt... They don't are not part of the Electoral College. They get primaries, but they're not part of the Electoral College.
Matter.
Right. He won Minnesota.
Yes, it does. Because they're fighting
right.
for
electoral
statehood.
So
they get to vote a primary, but they don't count. They don't have Electoral College votes, which is we don't vote for our presidents directly. We vote for the Electoral College.
If Puerto Rico becomes a state...
And they need it.
We will have another studio.
hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. Puerto Rico's
live from Puerto Rico.
We need to make them a state and save them because they're
sure. I agree.
They're like a third world country.
I agree. We should save them.
But it really is.
One 18-year-old.
As you're getting more interested in politics, all of these things that are happening are so huge, but they're so big that we need hindsight almost to find out what does Scalia dying in this year mean, and as we come up with the abortion rates, there are so many things going down this year, And while Citizens United has not been overturned, it's failing at every single election. The only reason the Republicans won in 2014 was because of low voter turnout from Democrats. Like, but if $100 million can't get you to Super Tuesday, there's something truly like not right going on. It's crazy to think about.
There's something terrifying going on is what it is. And I've seen all the memes that say, and we'll end the attempt and all this stuff. So when we get tired of it, we'll just bail out of it. All the memes that say that Trump isn't the problem, he's the symptom, I think are 100% correct.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You've
been doing thinly veiled racist
dick jokes. It's dick jokes at this point.
Yeah, right. And now we're down to just measuring penises.
Right.
That's when I checked out. I no longer participate. When we're talking about the grossest human's dick.
Right.
And calling him Little Marcos and all that stuff. It's so gross. And Puerto Rico is a territory. It's not a colony. We don't colony. Oh, there we go. Harrison already answered it.
Yeah, we were colonies. We don't colonize.
We're not an empire.
You're welcome.
We're not colonial because we it's kind of a wordplay thing because we don't want to be imperialists. We don't want to be
I mean, we want to be, but we don't want to sound like
it. We don't want to sound like it yet.
Just want to do it.
I'm not even sure where to leave off on that. Dick jokes.
Because it's sunk so low, but since Willie Horton that we've already talked about, with all these thinly veiled, all the racist, homophobic, anti-woman things that they've been, like, pleading with. And you have all these people that are like, we keep voting Republican, but, like, we haven't banned gay people. We haven't given black people their own nation. Like, what are we doing wrong? Like, who do we have to vote for? And then you go to these Trump rallies where he's telling them to punch people in the face, start violence, ship them off the island. Mexicans are rapists. Like, everything that they're like, that, and we've been talking about that, because they were told in 1980 by Ronald Reagan, you can be a racist homophobe. It's the shining light on the hill. The city on the hill. What was
beacon? The lighthouse, the beacon.
No, but what's Reagan's famous thing about the city on the hill?
I don't.
Stand by.
A thousand
city upon a hill.
No, that's Bush. That's
Bush's thousand points of light. But Reagan's big thing was the, you know, it's morning in America, and then his other thing is the shining beacon of light or whatever. But all that was like...
We talked about that, and I can't. I have nothing right now.
It's all about racism.
America's a shining city upon a hill.
Shining city upon a hill.
Oh.
So you got all these white people that are like, wait, we're waiting for our moment. Like, we keep voting for you, and women still have rights. They can still have abortions. Like, what the fuck are
There's
we doing
black
wrong?
People everywhere. Like,
yeah,
what
exactly.
Are we doing?
So, and it's finally the manifestation of, like, people want to say it out loud, like, stop thinly veiling it. And they call it political correctness because they can't figure
because
out
they don't like it.
Why they can't say faggot, why they can't say the N-word. Like, why can we still not do this stuff? Like, why is there still a black comedian hosting the Oscars? Why are we being lectured on racism? Like,
hint, because it's not okay.
Right, but they've been told for 30 years that,
right,
like,
that stick with us, it's going to be okay.
It's got those little tiny
okay, hands. The hands thing is kind of funny.
It is funny. But
did
and I've been
it,
saying
Marty?
That for a long time, and that's the Karl Rove thing.
Yep.
The Karl Rove appeal is like, Karl Rove remember? Told us Bubbles. To vote and we could hate gay people.
Clayton.
When did it start losing? Oh, yeah. She goes for the bubbles.
Kristen Wiig needs to be
not
Donald
okay.
Trump.
Not okay.
Hysterical.
But that really, the Karl Rove thing is the nail in the coffin, because Karl Rove guaranteed Republicans, if they put gay marriage on the ballot, Republicans would win. And then Republicans lost Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They lost Maryland. Mm-hmm. Every state that gay marriage was on, and they started winning. And the white people were like, wait a fucking minute. Karl Rove promised us.
Right.
Well, when all these people die, it'll be fantastic.
We're going to tie it back.
Well, no, because they're raising the lady in Texas, that bullshit lady in Texas, who's now in charge of education in Texas. She is now.
Who believes the Flintstones is a documentary?
Yeah. No, it's worse. Obama's a gay male whore. Bush was a faggot. Like,
it's real
you
bad.
Everybody's gay. Yeah.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Oh, I'm in the wrong state.
You're watching all the wrong shows. You've got to start watching John Oliver.
I'm going to bring it
back.
Just
start watching In-N-Out. Is everybody gay?
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck yes, Barbara Streisand.
No, we're going to bring this back to my weekly rant on how it all starts locally.
Yes.
Okay, it's not just everywhere else. It's not just Texas. It's not just Idaho. It's not just all these other places. The Phoenix City Council this week voted to reinstate prayer at the beginning of every meeting.
I saw that.
No, I posted it on the Facebook, but for the listeners that aren't on the Facebook, it's like, this is a problem. This is a big deal. Okay, it was typically, you know, started and some groups would come in and they would say some words and it was all fine and hunky dory and very kumbaya
until
the Satanic Church wanted to come and do the blessing at the beginning of the meeting. So they're like, well, no, we're just going to take it away. We're going to do a moment of silence.
Okay.
And so now they've come back and they voted it back in with a restriction that makes it almost exclusively Christian in saying that the blessing is to be read or said or whatever by a fire or police chaplain. So now it's going to be non-denominational, perhaps, but almost exclusively Christian. Now, this is local politics. Now, our Phoenix City Council, I don't vote for them, I live in Scottsdale, but the Phoenix City Council, half of them were elected last year. Three out of four, ran unopposed. Republicans that ran unopposed. Your local politics right here in Phoenix and probably wherever you live too are so ignored and so autopiloted and so all about who you know and what your name is, and as long as you sound white enough, please, 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 everyone, look into something local. I don't care if it's your school board, your city council, your state representative, your state legislature, your dog catcher, whoever it is. Get more involved locally, because these politics will trickle up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If we start getting involved at a city level, at a state level, that's going to trickle upward.
Sure.
Okay?
Agreed.
I work with this total
Work it out.
I know.
Thank you. That was really good. Thank you.
Use your words.
Douchebag, cunt, twat, waffle. Yeah. And a couple of years ago, she's having this whole long talk with me about how her mom said she can't vote for Obama because it's going to affect her child's education. I'm like, oh my God, you stupid cunt.
Mm-hmm. No, Diane Douglas is affecting your child's education.
Is a local fucking thing. Obama's effect on your child's education is zero.
Right. Please Google John Oliver special districts right now.
Yeah.
Possibly less.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Possibly less.
Yeah.
Like, there's, and I'm just like, don't even talk about politics. If you're going to say that your kid's history book is somehow affected by Obama in this fucking state where, like, the stupidest people in the world are, so where was it, Sarah and the Lady in Texas, if it wasn't on...
It wasn't on John Oliver because he had the horrible racist...
Bruner, you're talking about Bruner?
The
crazy bitch, yeah.
Well, it might have been last week instead of this week.
That was just 2 days ago. It was with that. And
but
more
I want to say we've talked about her before. The one in Texas.
We have.
Yeah. Oh, no, this was the first time.
No. She's the one that. Are you talking about the one that's Mary Lou Bruner?
Yeah.
She says Obama has a soft spot for homosexuals because of the years he spent as a male prostitute in his 20s. That is how he paid for his drugs. He has admitted he was addicted to drugs.
It was John Oliver.
And he is sympathetic with homosexuals. But he hasn't come out of the closet about his own homosexual, bisexual background. He hasn't quite evolved that much. Since he supports gay marriage, he should be proud of his background as a homosexual, bisexual. He isn't against everything else Christian. He is against everything else Christians stand for. He might as well be for infidelity.
Yeah.
This is Crazy Bitch, October 26, 2015.
As it turns out,
you have to read what she has to say about. She says the same things about Bush.
Yes.
The first. Yes. Bush the first. It's just what?
Yeah,
the
she has bizarre things to say. If people you know are using their children as a reason to vote for or not vote for a presidential candidate, please remind them that their school district and their school board meetings are open to the public. They can attend. They can have a voice. They can ask questions. They can become part of the board. They can be part of committees. They can be part of all of those things.
They would never do that.
Well,
I do it all the time.
Someone who's so willing to just blame...
to vote Trump because...
someone in the clouds because of their child's education is certainly not involved on the local
level. But I implore you to even just shout into the wind because, you know what I mean? If we change one person's mind, if we change three people's minds, seriously, like, something has to happen, and it doesn't happen if we all just sit quietly and do nothing either.
Oh, right.
Like, please remind the people around you that they can and should and have to be involved.
Sure.
They don't have to agree with your politics. They don't have to agree with anything about you.
I'm even involved to the point of I'm in my neighborhood's association. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason that that speed hump that's in front of my house is on that side of my yard because they want to put it on that side. I'm like,
did you go to the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I voted. I'm like, I want it there because before the light rail, I have no speed humps between me and Central.
Right.
So if it was on this side, I could exit.
And if you're the only person that showed up to vote, then one to nothing, democratic process.
I can still exit my neighborhood to Central as long as I'm going south with no speed humps slowing me down.
Look at that.
Sure. But it's little stupid things like that people don't realize. You can make a difference. What day is our trash going to be picked up? You can vote on that. You can be part of that.
You can show up to city council. You can't blame
Obama for it
later. No. Right. But like the street light that's in the alley behind my house, I chose that.
Yeah.
Again, nobody else showed up. We're going to put street lights in the alleys to light up for safety. Where do you want it? My fucking backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly why.
Let's see who else showed up. Me. My backyard.
I get it. I get it. Yeah.
I live in a spotlight. The rest of you fuckers are in the dark.
And now, and people call me, and this doesn't exactly equate to that, but I know there are a lot of people who make fun of me about this, but I have the app on my phone. I ride my bike everywhere, like Al does. Every goddamn street light that I see out, I report it. Why? Sure. Because we pay taxes for that light to be on. And if it's not on, we're A, getting screwed out of something. But it's a safety. When I ride down a street, I don't want it to be all fucking dark. I want it with the light to be on. So I have an app that tells me that. I have a phone number I can call. I have all those things. If people just... It doesn't just get fixed magically.
Right.
Somebody has to notice the street lights out, the stop lights out, whatever.
Yep.
My hope is that is what we convey to people through our little tiny meetings here every Tuesday, is to, like, act and vote locally. Like, presidential elections are sexy. I get it.
But there's so much other shit that happens.
The dick jokes are getting really good.
We're taking all the sexiness out of presidential elections.
You should see the size of my.
But
with the way that the left falls off in off years, just tells you that they love the shiny stuff. But Republicans are smart enough; like they're not smart enough to win presidential elections often. But they are plenty smart enough.
They're crazy enough to show up in all the other shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the redistricting stuff that you have to wait for the Supreme Court to fix.
Well, just like what Kat's talking about exactly with Diane Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just put an R behind someone's name.
And a knife through her throat.
Every day I think more and more about it. I'm like, who do I got to know? What can I get elected to?
Right.
Because why not?
Right.
Why
because
not? I have as much qualification as she does.
The fact that she has, oh God, you're exactly right.
I have as...
Probably more
because I read.
And there is that. And the fact that this crazy bitch that you guys had brought up and that I read that thing from, this Brunner, Mary Lou Brunner. This isn't about her politics, like reading that. Those are just some Facebook posts.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't about people that she's endorsed. She basically, this is the other scary fucking thing. But she worked for 36 years in East Texas schools as a teacher.
Attagirl.
That's not frightening. Counselor and educational diagnostician.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I bet Carlton's mother knows her.
Probably. Well, maybe. Probably. And stands by all of her posts, but deletes the ones that she comes to learn are inaccurate, and also she says publicly apologize. I'm not ashamed of anything I've said.
Carlton's mother's in charge of IT of all of the state of Texas.
Oh, well, I know it was all of Texas.
Yeah.
For those of you that have seen Harold and Maude, well, not the entire South.
But it really is just kind of crazy, because she doesn't really apologize.
No. Really, Harold, a sunflower?
A falsetto child.
So, and the fact that people are taking someone like her.
Local politics just takes all the joy out of the show because it's just a fucking
shit
show.
It's about a quarter after two. We got to move on. But before we move on, I want to go back to something very important.
Very.
Very important. We talked about it maybe half an hour ago. I've forgotten.
Go.
There's two things.
Two things.
Number one, is this the phone you had? The slide up, the slide up screen. On the
I didn't
sidekick.
Have a T-Mobile. I had an LG.
Oh.
But I understand.
And then this is the one that had the screen that flipped around.
Sexy fucker.
It flipped around
I
and went up.
I loved that thing.
Did not know.
I will tell you I at the time, if you phone. Carried that phone, I thought you were a douche and I just walked away.
I'm not going
to. I'm not going to lie to
you. Okay, I'm going
to
give you that. just because.
Points for that.
All right, we got a few minutes left in the show. We're going to go to this segment, and I hope we can figure it out. It goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. So as we're like looking back, and I keep saying it, like I think the things that are like dominoing right now, like are so huge that we just need, like we're gonna need history to decide, like, and I'll give you an example, like
we're embarrassing ourselves.
7 years ago, we like Obama was elected president, and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the end of racism. Then you find it. No, just gonna make it way worse.
Make it way worse. But
you need now I just gave everybody permission to be racist about the president.
But right. You need history to tell you, like, what does this say about us? So, what now do you want to say about, like, what do you want to go on record? Even it could be wrong. Like, you could find it a year from now, like, woo, that was fucking wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, what about this amazing year of like money's not working and Supreme Court justices dying and like the Senate not doing a fucking thing but passing abortion laws, like what is it that you want to like clamp down as like this is the thing that 2 years from now is going to be like that really was huge?
Not Donald's dick.
No
no, not his hands.
I didn't ask what was
penis.
Huge.
Oh, not the huge thing about that.
Locally, nationally, like, what is it? What's the thing that you think is just going to be like, that's a game changer, and we'll stay that way?
The fact that there will still be, whether Donald Trump goes anywhere or not, but there will still be, no matter what, people that supported Donald Trump in this world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah, I get what you
it
mean.
It doesn't matter what
I've already,
happens.
And I've
that they've
thought.
Been exposed. That they've been
right,
exposed.
Right.
But I've already thought of what you're saying. You remember years ago, there were the bumper stickers that you still occasionally see them on the back of cars. Don't blame me. I voted for Romney.
Oh, yeah.
Or I voted for whoever.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's the don't blame me. I voted for somebody else. So yeah. We're going to see those. Don't blame me. I voted for Trump. It's going to come out. Even because when Hillary takes over the world
right.
And does all the shit, that's what we're going to see. And I've already thought those are going to come out. And we're going to be living with those same fucktards who, like you said, are exposed. They're already out there. You're racist, you racist, bigoted, uneducated,
piece
poorly educated.
We love the poorly educated.
I know all the good words.
That is insane.
I know the best words.
But you're right. They're all out there. And what I'm hoping with regards to what you're saying is even though they're exposed and they're out there, I'm hoping that those will be the people who just kind of realize that they just need to kind of slink away and never mention that
again.
Yeah,
but I think that's the shame, is that those are the exact people that wouldn't. I think that's the exact shit because.
And if you watch Bill Maher
does that
from
make
this
sense?
Last week,
I wish the same thing, but I don't think that.
If you watch Bill Maher from this week, one of the panelists gives them an identity, like
trumpeters.
No. But it's like white identifying, but it's not white identifying, but it's in that line of like you're just crazy racist. And as Chris Rock told us last week, like racist anymore doesn't mean I'm burning a cross on your lawn. Mm-hmm. You're in this lane of like, well, we're just going to use a white person for this, you know, or that movie that was Aloha or whatever it was just out this year where they made that lovely actress from
Emma Stone
play Asian. And you're like, well, that
maybe not.
That doesn't go the right way.
Right.
It's not, you know what I mean? Like
I want them to cast Margaret Cho as a, just a very, 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 just Caucasian in anything. And just have like a mimic kind of, you know.
Have her play Eleanor Roosevelt.
Absolutely.
There you go. There it is.
AP says Cruz wins Idaho. Did we say that?
No, we didn't. No, we've been waiting.
I just got that. AP
but that, I think that that would be the thing in 2 minutes, 2 years, that, but as far as looking back, that the people that are supporting the hate and the bigotry and the
and beating people up
and feeling like there is someone standing in front of them that's saying it's okay.
Karl Rove, the new Karl Rove,
absolutely.
Kat Carlson, I feel like you had a little epiphany.
Well, I don't know. I read a lot of things.
Nothing better than reading.
I know. There's really just not.
Yeah.
I don't know about what I think will be looked back upon as, like, a turning point, but what I hope... I think I'm pretty, like, securely Team Hillary. However, there is a, like, super romantic liberal that lives inside me that hopes 2 years from now we look back and say, Bernie fucking Sanders led the revolution, got people up off their couch, got them involved, and made a fucking difference. Like, there's that liberal romantic inside of me.
But always just, voted wrong on guns.
That, well, whatever.
You can't,
you can't have everything.
We talk a lot about guns.
We do talk a lot about guns.
More
but you
than
can't
Wall
have,
Street, so...
You can't have everything, but, you know, the
But I want somebody that voted a little better on guns.
Yeah. Well, sure.
But I just can't let that slide anymore.
I understand.
That he votes wrong on guns, and all of us as liberals talk a lot about guns. So if you're going to vote for the guy that never votes with us on guns, then you got to give up the gun argument, because... Yep.
That's fair.
Then that's off the table.
I agree.
That's interesting.
I agree.
That's fair.
But, as far as, like, you know...
Keeping it to the left... different countries.
No, just look at the there are 11 people on the audio only feed right now. 11 people.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
And 13 people in the chat room. Maybe some of the same. That's not you.
Okay. And again, like I said, I'm pretty securely Team Hillary, but God, I wish Bernie was leading an actual revolution, an actual uprising of people who believe in helping other people, in making things right, in making things fair.
Did you hear about the lawsuit that his group filed? I believe they filed it today. I never thought about this, but it makes sense. You have to be 18 and older to vote in a primary. I get it.
But the
lawsuit about that they want the 17-year-olds who will be of age.
Oh, to
when
vote in the primary?
In November, they want them to be able to vote in the primary.
Then you got to be 18. You got to be 18 to vote.
Let me make a quick point about a primary.
I'm not defending it. I'm just bringing up a point.
Yeah.
Primaries are not a right. Voting in a primary is not a right. The reason that you vote in a primary is because you're a member of a party. Every party, whatever party it is, be it the Democrats, the Republicans, the Green Party,
and they change the rules every fucking 5 minutes.
And they are allowed to make the rules to choose their candidate however they wish. Once we get to an actual ballot, an actual election in November, then everyone has rights. But as far as primaries go, you don't actually have rights. So for all the people, especially in Arizona, I've posted this 100 times. If you're bitching about the fact that you can't vote in blah, blah, blah primary because of the way that you're registered to vote, it's because you're not a member of that party, so you don't get a say in selecting that party's candidate. Right.
Being independent is cool, but guess what? When it comes to primaries, you don't get a choice because you chose that. And I say that about Bernie, too.
Yeah.
If he was really a Democrat and wanted to be a Democrat, then he should have...
He'd have been one long ago.
And he should have just registered as a Democrat in the Senate. He should have switched to the Democrat because coattails are important.
Absolutely.
To the winner go the spoils. To the victor go the spoils is the old expression.
Yeah.
The spoils of war is what you get. It's actually a good thing. It sounds negative. But the spoils of war are what comes with victory.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, but... Go ahead. I'll do yours, and then because that's mine. So
okay.
No. Well, the only thing I would say, in going along with all this, I just keep thinking, it's just so frustrating that people cannot and will not accept fact with things. Again, I keep spinning this back to the religion that it infuriates me that everybody wants to run everything based on religion, and that is not what this country was founded on at all.
But we're looking for historic perspective. So is that what you think a couple years now we're going to look back at and be like, okay, that was the crazy shit?
No, and I think so, because right now, with all of the rhetoric that Trump has stirred up and all these people with the bigotry, and it's all about Jesus, and it's all about this, and it's all about that, you can build your house of cards on whatever fictitious lies you want to build on.
Season 4 on Netflix right now.
And then I'm hoping that later on they're going to be like, we maybe shouldn't have said that. Maybe that was wrong. Yeah. I don't think it ever. I don't think it'll happen because people are so naive and they're not self confident enough to realize that you can live a full life and be fine and you don't have to believe in something that you can't touch, you can't hold, you can't feel. Just can't you have faith in somebody else or something in yourself? You don't have to believe a book that's been translated 37 times.
Yeah.
And nobody can really prove it. I'm not saying there wasn't an ark. I'm not saying there wasn't somebody who believed in something that was crucified for it, because we're crucifying people right and left right now, albeit in a social media arena. Yeah.
Less names, like, more words.
There's no lions attacking people, and there's not a cross that we're nailing people to. But
where's the pity?
But there's still the same things going on. Mm-hmm. We're crucifying people right and left because of what they believe. We are part of it. But it's like, when are you just going to put your head out of your ass and realize that you can't believe in stuff that's not real? Can you prove that he rose out of fucking behind a rock and all of a sudden it's Easter and all this bullshit? Fuck no.
See, and I'm willing to compromise. I don't care what you believe in. Just don't get any on me.
No, I agree. But that's what they're doing.
But I think, like, historically what we're going to find out is as these people keep, like, limiting other religions, that they're going to realize the... To further your point, they're going to realize, oh, shit, I just shit on my own. Mm-hmm. Like, while... Like, this thing about the fire chaplain and the police chaplain, all of a sudden, the police and the fire chaplain don't have any rules about who they can hire, and they're
right.
going to all
and
of a sudden...
Right, yeah. What if they're we can Muslim? Hope. And what if they're...
What
right.
if a, just, what if a what Muslim if they, fire chief becomes...
Also, what if, and whether yeah. it be agnostic, or they're... Right. What, it doesn't
or
matter.
Me.
Right. No, but I mean, it doesn't...
Low bar. I don't think they're going to hire me, but no, I'm saying... No.
To be the fire department chaplain?
I just like red. No. I just like red trucks and sirens.
Hi, Greg in Grand Rapids.
So does Ronan. He's 8.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, you realize historically, like, God, did we fuck that up?
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think the people that voted for Greg Reagan right. at the time mm-hmm. that let the Christian guy, Carter, go mm-hmm. were like, fuck.
And now look at Carter.
One was for show and one is still doing good Christian
acts.
But
I think that's the difficult part. Because again, when it comes to religion or spirituality or a belief in something, I know that I perhaps stand differently than the other three of you. I don't want to speak for anyone. You two yeah. have made it very clear. You've made it clear, kind of-ish. But the yeah. whole thing is that doesn't have a goddamn thing to do, interesting, with who I'm voting for. Right. Like, oh. I'm not going to walk in and be like, well, Bernie's a Jew, and, you know, over here, while Hillary is talking about her faith a lot, I better go with Hillary. I don't fucking care.
No. But-
because it's about that. But when Cruz is up there pontificating about shit, it does bother me.
No, it bothers me too. Like yeah. all the people that are following Trump that think that the only reason that you can have, like, there are still people out there that think that the only reason that you could ever have sex in your life is because you have to procreate.
Yes. No.
Through a sheet.
Right. Well, there's all that too. But like all those crazy people who think that.
No fornication without procreation.
You believe in this book and you just don't believe in human nature and people reason. And like Al says, I go back to these people who think that the Flintstones is a documentary, that the dinosaur era and humans and evolution, none of that ever, it's not right. It doesn't work right.
And that's
drives me crazy.
That's where I draw the line. I'm okay with whatever you want to believe till you start denying science. And then you're doing two things at the same time.
You cannot deny fact.
Then we're going to have a problem. Or
yeah,
when you start,
I agree.
Like, when you start denying women's rights, then we're going to have a problem.
And we go back to the first story in headlines tonight. These fucking people who think that you can deny medicine and the kid's going to be fine because God's going to save you. No, he's not.
Right. Yeah.
We've evolved this far so that you can get an inoculation or an antibiotic, or you can go to Al and see him in the restaurant and he'll get this fixed.
Sure.
You cannot leave this on the line. You can't, and these people just believe.
I won't get it fixed, but I'll follow some doctor's orders.
Absolutely.
You might know how to
but
get in touch
with
somebody.
Right. You know how to put the order into the kitchen.
You know Sammy Davis Jr. isn't going to come up and soft shoe this into a Jewish song and fix the kid.
Right.
But I think that
that's, would be entertaining.
That's the difficult thing for me to understand with any kind of religion in politics. And we've talked about all that before. But to look at it now and say, well, you know, we have a gentleman running who is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, now wait a minute. Because he's not going to speak for the Christians. But are the Christians speaking for the Jewish folks?
No.
And are the Christians speaking for the... So what?
But because they want to win Florida, they've all learned the phrase Christian Judeo.
Exactly. And it, but it's that kind of stuff. I mean, you have so many different religions.
Now that you're into politics,
spiritual.
Just watch Florida. Watch retirees and young people, Christians and Jews.
Burt Reynolds lives there. I'm going to watch all of it. It's very busy.
But really, 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 really.
Watch. And I agree
Florida
with you, Greg.
The,
I would say
the
exact same for
everything.
Me. Yeah, Greg is a... I'm going to say a new listener. I've not seen you, Greg. Is that true? Am I wrong?
Greg, I want to say he's been there before.
Because unless I've not been in here.
Welcome.
He's not on my list.
Welcome, Greg. Thanks for joining in.
Drop us an email. Go to our Facebook page and find us, Greg, and send us a message. Let us know who you are, what you believe in, how
you
identify.
Or if you don't believe in Facebook, MISSEYAL@AOL.com.
Yep. Or info at QTalkAmerica.com.
Yeah, because and I agree completely. You know, like, that's how I feel. Well, I can believe in what I want. You cannot believe in what you want.
Don't inflict it on me.
Right. Not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Don't put your shit on my answer
to this question
is,
2 years from now, I think we are watching the end of the Republican Party.
Sure.
Oh, that'd be nice.
From your lips.
I think we're about to start.
We're not going to bring God into it, though.
I think we are about to be a three-party system, and
that
I think it's going to change.
That's going to be wonderful for this country.
I hate to cut Al short. We have to do it. We're at the last 30 seconds. Everybody, thank you for in the chat room. Thank you for being here. It's so much fun to have all of you here every single week. I can't name all of you, but I'm here with Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday. Thanks,